Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, what's the phone number? 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Thank you. What do we got going today? Greg Fitzsimmons, comedian and circumcision expert. The debate rages on about circumcision. I know quite a bit about it, again, from my former job, talking about it for many years, and a handful of personal experience. Literally a handful.
You stinker, you.
I just got that.
That's good.
Out of the gates, red hot.
Thanks, partner. Right back at you. So here's the thing about most things. Most stuff is a shade of gray. I don't know why our society has turned into this black or white thing. There's this thing where if you're circumcised now, this is nothing short of an attack. Your parents, you're half a man, you were butchered. Or if you're not circumcised, then you have more problems. It's really 51-49, and the 51 and the 49 can flip back and forth in the positive or for the circumcision or for, like, a lot of things. I guess it's not good TV, or people are too effing crazy to talk that way anymore. I don't know what it is, but no one will say that. The reality is people get really passionate about circumcision. It's nothing one way or the other.
Well, here's what I will say. I've never seen an uncut one.
I have.
Yeah. You have. You've been with one.
You've never seen one?
I've never seen it.
Never seen a picture?
No!
What?
Well, you've got to start dating some Canadians.
Yeah, or start watching more Euro porn.
There Wait, the Canucks, they're
nope.
uncut?
No, and they get very, very indignant unless you say that they are intact.
How dare you!
That's the phrase they like.
National health care.
The bottom line is women can be a little bit freaked out by it, even in this day and age. And you want to give your son every chance.
Yes, agree.
You know, like they do that thing where it's like, what do you want for your child? I'm not going to tell him what to do. I just want him to have every opportunity life affords him. You know, if he wants to do this, then he should be able to do that. Well, number one, if you have a son, is potentially getting laid, and this will hurt him.
Well, let me tell you something. The online is really terrific, because just like that, my 36 years of my eyes never looking at an uncut one, it's been remedied.
How do you feel about it?
I don't like it.
And he's normally a fan.
Well, obviously,
good
the
Christ,
other,
I'm gay.
It's like the a other side is that, you know, in time, you know, in 20 years, when your son's 20, there'll probably be a lot more intact men.
Yeah, but, you know, this has been going on for quite some years. I mean, you know, I remember in the mid-80s, if you would have said, well, by the year 2005, 2006, what percentage of new men born in the United States? And people said, oh, they'll have done away with circumcision for all but the Hasidim. No, still with it. It's really, circumcision cuts like a knife.
That is so good.
Don't encourage him.
Sorry. Come on.
The circumcision thing is about the same thing as the metric system was in the mid-70s, which is everyone in Europe, this is how they do it in Europe. That's how it goes. This is how the world does it, as a matter of fact. You guys are the only guys that are doing the standard system. Everyone else is on this system. And don't worry, in a few short years, you'll be on this system too. Do not worry. You'll be doing that. When you're an adult and you get into your job, you know, this is circa 1974, but you'll be using the metric system. And it was kind of the same thing with circumcision, which is, sure, all you guys are doing it this way, but in Europe and the rest of the world, they do it another way. And soon, you guys will join them. Well, as it turns out, we're on the standard system. It's still 5/8 3/4. It's not 5 millimeters or 7 millimeters. And we still cut the dorks.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm really, my investigation in the online is really yielding a lot of stuff. I see one, it looks like a faulty sort of sausage, you know, like when the one end cracks a little bit and you can see the inner. First of all, Bill is on his feet.
Peering over.
I guess that's just his erection picking him up off the ground. But I'm looking at all these pictures. They're quite grotesque.
I can't believe that you've not seen an uncut penis, be it...
Where would I have seen it?
Well, okay, I'll give you some options of where you can see penises. One, in some sort of communal shower area, like at the gym.
Yeah, but not uncut.
I know. Again, right. You could still see an uncut one there.
All right.
The one wouldn't have popped up somewhere in high school or college or the gym or something like that. Two, just basic porn. If you just if you watch enough porn, you will see a dude. Oftentimes, brothers. Oftentimes, men of color. For some reason. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or maybe it's just, you know, sharecroppers from Mississippi and didn't have an extra $60 over the hospital that day. I don't know how it works. A lot of the brothers oftentimes.
I don't like watching black men have their way with our women. I'm sorry. Call me old school, but.
Well, that's where we.
That's an attack.
That's where we part ways, Dave.
Hey, where are the white women at?
So porn or the gym. Or just general whatever. Sometimes you see some things that are sort of, you know, a biology or not biology, but these native tribes or pictures or something. Just something that has to do with health or medicine or something like that.
Well, perhaps nothing. I have laid my eyes on it, and it just didn't make an impression on me.
Okay,
but it's quite unpleasant.
Yes, I agree.
To look at now,
we will get deeper into that. I have another topic or two to get into, and then we'll bring Greg Fitzsimmons in, and we'll talk about that. Comedian, of course. Let's see. We also have a circumcision expert who's going to be joining Greg as well, at least on the phone. Republican Representative Richard Martin's going to be on. Charlie Steiner, the Dodgers announcer, is going to be chiming in. Not on circumcision, but perhaps. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the guy who broke the Mel Gibson case. Harvey is had a lot of airtime over the last couple days. Harvey Levin is a local guy out here, or was a local guy, broke off to do his own thing, and has really got some juice. I'm just guessing that TMZ website has had more hits in the past 3 days than it's had in its entire existence. Also, we got a Penthouse Pet. My twins are calling in to the show today. Let me relate a story to you that happened to me yesterday, last night at the airport. I had to go to Vegas after the show, do a little work.
Oh, for Crank Yankers. That's right.
No. Regrettably, no. I went straight to the airport after work, hopped on the plane, and got back about 11 o'clock last night from
Vegas.
That's
some life, though.
Yeah.
Jet setting.
It's horrible. Yeah. Southwest.
Jet setting rarely involves Burbank.
Yeah, and guys with flip-flops and cut-off sweats and bad-to-the-bone T-shirts on sitting next to you.
And stewardesses who use the time to do their stand-up routine.
Yeah.
As Southwest stewardesses do.
You know, they have shut them up a little bit, I've noticed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, remember there was that controversy a few years back where the one said, you know, like, pick a seat, and then she said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a tiger by the toe, and then a couple of black women sued them because the word tiger oftentimes is replaced with a word that sounds like tiger, but it starts with an N. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this either, although it sounded vaguely familiar when I heard the lawsuit. But yeah, there's a frivolous lawsuit. But anyway, not as much talking as they used to, and I like it that way. But the point is we were, I was coming home with Jimmy's brother, John. We're sitting at the airport, had a little time to kill because, by the way, when you get up at 4:45 and you're in a different state, literally you're in Nevada and it's 9:15 at night and you've not been home yet, it's great to hear that the flight's been pushed back 55 minutes. It's just, oh, I mean, that like 55 minutes just cutting into your, well, we'll not be getting home at 10:10 anymore. I'll be getting home at 11:15. And it's like, it's just that it may just be 45 or 50 minutes and any other time during the day between noon and 12:45, well, who cares? But at that hour, it's like golden time. Like, oh my God, an hour later.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in there, and I decided to order some quesadillas at the Mexican restaurant while we enjoy a few light beers waiting for the plane to come. And it was one of these things where I know there's a language. There's there's a language barrier in this country now where half the people that work for you, that work with you, that work at restaurants, that are the guys that are either giving the directions, the security guards, the waiters, busboys, bartenders, and all. Many of them do not speak the language that you speak, or if they do, it's very limited. It's something that's rarely discussed when we discuss the whole thing about the borders and the Minutemen and opening the borders and visas and work and blah, blah, blah. In this country, and I imagine we must lead the world in this, you deal on a daily basis. I would love an average tally. If you live in Los Angeles, you average 8.3 people a day who don't speak your language that you have to try to communicate with. No, you've gone too far. Fair practice. I'm not ordering. I'm just taking out. I'm not ordering sushi. I'm not eating here. I'm picking up. So a lot of no. You don't want to be rude. And you don't want to be weird. And you don't want to go, do you understand me? But there's a lot of that. No.
English, motherfucker. Do you speak it?
The guy was something. I don't know what he was. He was not Mexican. He had something else going. Huh. He spoke some English, but not, but some people are proud too. They're like, no. I speak it. You know, I got it. But you get the feeling they don't. So this guy comes around. I said, so you want to order something off the menu? I said, yeah. Give me the quesadilla. And he was like, okay, chicken quesadilla. I said, no, just a regular cheese. We have the chicken quesadilla. Yeah, I know, but just give me the cheese. Just cheese quesadilla. Now he's confused. Which I enjoy. I love when people bring stuff up that you never brought up. I didn't bring up chicken. You brought up chicken, but now you won't let it go. As if I came in wearing a chicken suit clucking. You know what I mean? Like, no, just regular cheese. Cheese quesadilla is good. So chicken?
Con pollo?
Yeah, I was like, no, Jesse, we literally went back and forth six times to John Kimmel's delight. Just give me the cheese. Just give me the cheese. So at the end, swear to effing Christ, I say, just regular cheese quesadilla. Okay, so you want a cheese quesadilla? Yes, with chicken. No, I don't want chicken. I don't mind chicken, but I don't like it on my quesadilla somehow. It doesn't work well for me. I don't mind steak, and I don't mind the cheese. Not a fan of the chicken. Especially, by the way, when you're eating at a sort of crappy airport place, the less ingredients, the better. Like, that's the whole thing. Quesadilla, cheese, and a tortilla. Mm-hmm. Pretty hard to F that up with a little salsa. But when they start adding, you know, start putting the fake guacamole and the sour cream and all the crap that the stupid NASCAR Tad people like, then it starts screwing things up. So I'm just so he says, so cheese quesadilla with the chicken, he says. And I'm at this point, I realize I cannot talk him into just a cheese quesadilla. This is no longer going to work. He must put something with it. So I said, okay, what? Do you have steak? Should I have steak in my quesadilla? Oh yeah, we have chicken and steak. That's all right. Then just give me the steak, cheese and steak quesadilla. Oh okay. Comes back, hands me the tray, and I laughingly say, so this is the cheese and chicken quesadilla, you know, just having a nice yuck for the table because we kicked it around nine times before. And sure enough, it's the chicken. The cheese quesadilla.
What if you had drawn a picture of a chicken and put a slash and a circle around it?
I wanted to put a slash to this guy. I just realized, and I realized, like, I have so many interactions with people where they bring stuff up, they cling to it. I never brought it up. You know what I mean? Like they'll go, what are you doing this weekend? I'll be like, I'm just going to be staying home. Oh, you're not going to the beach? No. So you're not going to the beach? No. Oh, we're you don't like the beach? I never brought up the beach. You brought up the beach. I didn't say anything about it. I'm just staying at home. You're fixated on something like this kind of fixation with chicken. And I really, there's nothing I could do to get him away from the chicken. And eventually, John Kimmel and I just ate the chicken quesadilla.
The mind reels, though, at the fact that you were talking to a guy behind a counter and he... a Mexican restaurant, and he wasn't Mexican. Since you go to any deli, on the West Coast, and they're always Mexican. They have no idea. Every deli in town, every kosher deli has Mexican menu items. Would you like the corned beef, pastrami, brisket, gefilte fish, or taquitos? That drives me crazy.
Maybe it was because we're in Vegas. This guy was, he seemed sort of Vietnamese or something. I couldn't figure it out. I only go so deep, especially with the Asian cultures. I got, you know, Japanese and Chinese, and then everything else is just a haze after that. But he would not part with it, and it just sort of, and I was saying to John Kimmel, who I was sitting there with, I was saying, does he understand that there is the possibility of ordering other quesadillas? Is it every single quesadilla he ever served? Does anyone ever get the cheese or ask for the steak and whatever? And it just made me think that we're now more than ever living in a society where no mayo means extra mayo. Somehow something got brought up. Even if he brought it up, he brought chicken up because the word chicken was volleyed back and forth 19 times in my attempt to avoid chicken, but his never-ending pursuit of giving me chicken, now chicken it will be. it's if you say, like, no mayo on the BLT. Why? I'm allergic to it. Oh, you don't like mayo? Once mayo gets brought up five times, there is a 65% chance you will get a heaping helping of mayo on your BLT because it was brought up. And I now realize that not only are we raising the world's dumbest people on the planet, but, and we work with a few here in this office, people have the inability to understand, hear, tune in. I realize nobody listens anymore, that this guy was on a trajectory that was shooting him toward a poultry farm, and there, no words of mine could penetrate that. That was it. He was being launched right at Tyson Chicken, and he could not be. There's no scud the Ace Man put up could knock that missile off its course. He was heading toward Chicken Town, and that was the end of that. And you can talk all you want. We do it every day here in our meetings after the show. We have the same conversation three times. It's okay. It's not life-threatening. But at restaurants and other places, I realize not only is there a language barrier, people do not listen. They absolutely tune out.
For somebody who doesn't want chicken, you sure are talking a lot about chicken.
I didn't want the... Okay, damn it. I know. We need to take ourselves a little break. And what's wrong with me that I'll eat anything you drop off?
That's a good postscript. You end up eating it.
Yeah. Oh, the great exchange is if you do try to send it back. You said you want. I like that you said.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I do. See, this is what I like to do. I like to, when I go out to eat with a group of friends, I like to say extra mayo even when I mean no mayo. And then when my meal comes, I like to send it back and watch everyone else eat. That's my thing.
Yeah, and
that's
look like thing. An a-hole for sending the food
That's
back.
My thing. I always order extra, and then I mean no, and then I send it back. So it's a great move if you like cold fries and a snot rocket in your next sandwich. It is awesome stuff. Greg Fitzsimmons, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons, coming up. We'll talk to him after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I've finally been able to really, like, trust and have intimacy with somebody, which I've never been able to do, like a lot of guys. I just have a hard time getting really that connected. And with her, I can actually sleep with her in my arms. Which is a big, spoons position, right? Yeah, women smile. They love the spoons. Yeah. Men, rather, fork. Forking is, yeah.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons on The Adam Carolla Show.
Fitz of laughter. That's Fitz with a Z. In stores as we speak. Oh, and also Greg's going to be on Letterman. August 18th. Congratulations on that. I'm sure you've been on many times.
Yes. It's been a little while, though, since I've been on. So, it's always like, it's a big milestone every time you do Letterman again, because you kind of go back and you pick your best 5 minutes since the last time you've done the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I haven't written a clean joke in about a decade. It's just all filth. I don't consider it filth. I consider it just honest. I try to talk honestly, but like even the stuff you've been talking about this morning on the show, you just can't do it. You know, you got to be really sensitive now on TV.
Yeah, I know. Letterman, I must have some sort of in-between Letterman appearance record because I swear I have. I had about 6.5 years in between Letterman. I did Letterman maybe in 2000 or 99 or something like that. First year of the Man Show, I remember. I did Letterman so long ago that we weren't talking about the Man Show. We were talking about Loveline when it was on MTV. The Man Show just started. Got a letter the next day. Great appearance. We'll see you real soon. And a scant 7 years later.
Well, real soon is relative to Letterman.
Sure, sure. He could be on the Earth's calendar.
Greg, is he a, do you interact with Letterman when you go?
You know, you're actually supposed to clear the hallway when he comes down to the show. Like, they have a PA that comes down. And
That's a true thing?
Get that. If I'd been doing what Letterman does in that hot seat, having to basically produce the show, I don't want anyone coming up to me. I don't want some PA coming up and going like, hey, man, that was really funny last night. I was thinking you should have tagged that joke with a thing about tortillas.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't need that when you're on your way to doing that show. So he wants people out of the hallway.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm less forgiving. I think he's an a-hole.
No. He can tell the guy who's about to do the show and the guy who hasn't done it in a while.
Well, Yeah, I did it. Oh, geez. I must have done it 8 months ago or something. Right before we started this,
as I
recall. Well, like I said, it took seven years off in between. Here's the thing about Letterman, as far as I can tell.
I think you're going to be taking, at minimum, another 7 years.
Well, it's possible.
15-year hiatus.
Yes. I know a lot of people used to work with him and stuff like that. And I think we make a lot of excuses in this business where we do this one, where it's like, he's a great guy, but he just doesn't like you to look him in the eye when you're talking to him, and nobody can have contact with him. It's kind of scary to go knock on his office door, and he's idiosyncratic and kind of weird, and he's standoffish, and he doesn't have time for this, and he doesn't have time for that, but he's a great guy.
Oh, I don't know if I'd say, I have no idea, I can't qualify him as a guy. I can just say that, like, if you owned a thoroughbred that was taking home the Triple Crown, it's not going to be a great horse to have hanging out in your yard.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You're going to ride the kids on
it. Not going to put the kids on him and trot him around. Yeah. Right, not good for kids' parties. No, but I do think sometimes when we're talking about a person as a human being, not as an actor, performer, doctor, dentist, or bus driver, just as a human being, in showbiz, people cut Letterman a lot of slack because he's so talented. And then B, they work this one in too. It's funny, you'll go, God, I mean, the guy doesn't talk to anyone. You know, when you do Letterman, there's 1,000 rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't bring this up. Don't touch Dave. Don't say this. Dave likes this.Ave likes that. His entire staff is scared S-less. That's clear from the number of phone calls you'll get to them. But Dave, I mean, they're just running scared. You can tell. And then at the end, when you go, geez, the guy sounds kind of uptight. And they go, well, he's miserable. And that's supposed to be, you're supposed to forgive him.
If I ever get to his level, my staff, they're not even going to look at my feet.
That's
I don't
right.
want anyone around me. Get the hell away from me.
I want them looking straight up in the air when they're talking to me. Not down, straight up, like they're looking at a blimp.
Yeah, it's such a high-pressure job. And I don't care what any of these people are like. I mean, you've worked with celebrities. I've written on a lot of shows now. I worked for Ellen DeGeneres. Not a nice person.
What?
Not a nice
tremendously,
person.
Really? Tremendously talented person.
Mm.
Brilliant.
Not nice.
Is she miserable?
I don't know. I don't care.
It'd be nice.
Like,
though.
I don't care.
Why? What's why she a mean person?
Well, no, I don't even want to get into that. My point being...
we do.
I know you do, but my point being, why do we care whether or not famous people are good people?
We want
they're
them to
there
be
nice. To read a script or to make us laugh or whatever. What they do in their daily life, doesn't even working for them, I don't care. I care that I got a job and they keep the eyeballs on the screen.
I agree with you in theory. The problem is I don't care, but oftentimes when you watch these entertainment shows or you read these newspapers or something, they try to make these people into great fathers, great husbands, great wives, great friends, you know, knock around guys.
Because the public enjoys that. The public wants all that stuff, so the media gives it to them.
Greg Fitzsimmons here, by the way. What is wrong with Ellen? Be nice.
Ellen who? Ellen Haven? Nice guy. Funny comic.
Ellen DeGeneres. Is she too driven? Too focused?
I won 4 Emmys with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked real hard. I was there for the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I left to go to Lucky Lou. You had Louie in here, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and now we're waiting. We're supposedly getting picked up for the next season. Not, you know, we don't know yet. Everything's on hold because James Gandolfini broke his leg.
Did he?
Yeah, so like this, this like a 4 month.
Oh, the scooter thing? Is this from the scooter crash?
I don't know how he did it, but it's putting everything on hold with us. We're like, you know, I went sitting around all summer waiting to go back to work.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
Oh, thanks. The ratings have been huge the last 4
It's amazing
weeks.
How he avoided the
Ellen. Yes, I noticed that.
It's
went
a good
from
talent.
Bitchy Ellen DeGeneres to James Gandolfini crashing on a Vespa.
Brusca, our Vespa? Resident lesbian.
We don't know.
I mean, if you're James Gandolfini, what are you doing on a Vespa? If he's ever a candidate for a Harley Davidson.
If you're Greg Fitzsimmons, what are you doing talking about Gandolfini when I was asking about Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah, you did skirt
angry.
The issue.
Angry.
Huh? Vance DeGeneres is a fine writer. Her brother
works there.
Yeah. No, he actually doesn't. I think he worked on her sitcom, but he didn't work on the show.
All right, well, let's rein it in because we're obviously not getting any information out of the prisoner about Ellen DeGeneres.
Contracts.
We'll just go ahead and think the worst, by the way, since we've not had any specifics. Perfect. Look, I know, I'm trying to think. Tell me if this sounds horrible. I think a lot of lesbians are evil. Because
no, that doesn't sound horrible.
Okay, good, because I don't.
It's a fair generalization.
I don't know. I don't have a governor.
Camille Paglia had an interesting point on lesbian, which is that in our society, they are the only ones that reject the penis.
Mm-hmm.
Straight men worship their own penis. We built the Pentagon building, and you know many tributes to the
Washington Monument,
the phallus.
Sure.
You know, gay men obviously huge fans of the penis.
Sure.
Straight women pretty into it.
Fan is not a strong enough word. Yeah.
And then you got the lesbians who go, not interested.
Well, what about this theory? I theorize that a high percentage of women who become lesbians are made that way because they got molested or diddled with, or at least, if not physically effed with by stepdad, so emotionally broken down by biological dad or stepdad or whoever, that has sent them heading toward the vagina and away from the penis. It's a large percentage. I don't know what the number is. Guys, gay guys, I think a fair amount of them just come out and hit the ground running gay. But I think women, oftentimes they've been steered away from men, whether it's through a bad emotional experience or a physical experience
with men.
When
I come on this show, I like to think I'm contrarian, and I maybe posit myself against you for good radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on your shoulders on this one.
You are. All right.
Really? I think that in the nature-nurture of homosexuality, if you have to do the things a man has to do to be qualified as a gay, you got to have it. You must have it.
Absolutely.
It's no hobby.
It ain't optional. No.
Yeah, it's right. It's that there's never a story of, oh, you know, Brusca and Dave and I went to Yosemite for a long weekend, and we're straight guys.
Funny story.
Seeing Dave in the moonlight. Yeah. And I like when it gets blurry with chicks, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not attracted to women, but Connie has such a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Like that. I blew Henny Youngman, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He's
great sense of humor.
Wasn't a
physical thing. But wait, let me finish this theory, and then Teresa can tell us about the time she had sex with a German chick on the train. So I think a lot of lesbians, so go along one time, and in Europe, by the way, where they all do it there.
It's been
disqualified. Mothers and daughters are on the beaches that way. It's a totally different environment over there. But a lot of lesbians, therefore, were created. Therefore, their issues that we look at them as a lesbian, number one, but I look at them as a victim, number one, oftentimes. So while, in fact, you may be a lesbian, you also might be a survivor of incest or abuse or whatever. So your personality then has changed as well. So
here's
you're not
I,
just
here's
dealing.
Where I, here's where I disagree with you, Adam.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Finally. Some yin for my yin.
Way, look, I like to think I survived a lot as a kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was a drunk.
Yeah.
Beat me a lot. Never diddled me. Feel a little cheated.
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't pretty.
He wasn't attractive.
No, it was adorable.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no... I couldn't have kept my hands off of it. As a matter of fact, I started really diddling myself at a young age. But so I think I've always... I like other people that had really screwed up childhood. So in a sense, like, I can connect to a lesbian. I like the fact that they're... I mean, to me, like, the closeted homosexual, I have a hard time bonding with.
Right.
Male or female. If you... I know you're gay. We all have that guy. We know you're gay.
Sure.
Just do it. You're in Hollywood, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a guy on the Ellen DeGeneres show who was gay. And it was like, if you want an environment that's gay friendly, you're in it, pal. You know, open up the doors and come out. There's going to be you're going to get a promotion when you come out.
Sure.
And those are the guys I can't stand. But an openly gay guy, I don't know if I can say this on the air. Put your finger on the bleep thing, but I love faggots. Like, gay people bore me. I like the old school Daisy Duke short, handlebar mustache, sparkles on the face.
Yeah.
That guy's fun to hang out with because they're wise
that.
Ass,
exactly
right? They speak their mind.
But it's
they make
the
fun
same,
everybody.
The same reason I want every black guy to be carrying a huge boombox and every Mexican to wear a sombrero. It's just, it's easier.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
Yeah.
And it's just nice when you can go, yep, look at that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's gay. That
in
guy's
the,
Mexican.
In
that
the
guy's black.
That is life. I want an applause when you walk through the door.
I have condemned the gay community for not upholding their end of the social contract. Exactly what you're saying. The queens, the guys that are fit, that show the rest of us how we should be dressing ourselves. They show us what's on the cusp of fashion, so on and so forth. Too many gay guys letting themselves go, you know?
Oh, no,
I don't
plus,
like that.
And put away the V-neck sweater. Don't adopt a kid. This isn't the suburbs.
Yes.
Be a fag.
Yes. I agree.
Embrace it.
Pretend
you want to have sex with me as a joke and I'll laugh and inside I'll be kind of glad because nobody else wants to.
From your mouth to God's ears, Greg Fitzsimmons.
God,
be a fag. All right, so yes, we agree that the lesbians are evil.
I disagree.
And that the gays got to step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think a lot of people have effed up childhoods and do not become gay.
No, I definitely agree with that. But if you're dealing with a populace like the lesbian populace, an overwhelming majority or majority of them who have had less than great childhoods, then you're going to have a tough boss, whether she's lesbian or not. She's just somebody with issues. That's why you'll have issues with most lesbians. All right. Now, where were we? We need to take a break. Greg Fitzsimmons is here. Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons. He is... in love with DeGeneres, in love with Letterman, in love with himself. Not a fan of the Ace Man, apparently. We're going to argue about penises because I'll tell you, if there's one thing Fitzsimmons is passionate about, it's wangs. We're talking about circumcision last time Greg was in here. I sat next to a guy, namely Dr. Drew, for many years, who was just as passionate about you are, but on the other side of the issue. He loved circumcision. You hate it. We have a couple of experts on the line, including one of these nut jobs who does the restoration thing. They use the medical tape and the fishing weights and everything, and they try to stretch what's left of the prepuce back over the tip of the penis. That's a good time. Talk about F you to pops. We'll take a quick break. We'll argue about this because I have a young son. And I'm going to be possibly doing it myself later on in the day. Yeah. Take a quick break. Back with Greg Fitzsimmons after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, we got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
You really are a beautiful man.
The guy who broke the Mel Gibson story. Charlie Lane, Penthouse Pet.
It's okay to like it. It's okay to like it.
And Big Tad was on stage with a Pearl Jam cover band a couple of nights ago. We got the exclusive audio. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, we're back, 866-901-ADAM. Greg Fitzsimmons here. CD, Fits of Laughter. Going to be on his favorite lover show, David Letterman, August 18th. Want to enjoy that. Also writes on Lucky Louie, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for Lucky Louie since everyone enjoys it so much here. VH1's Best Week Ever. There's a show that, it's weird. Take this in the spirit in which it's intended. I wouldn't call it a great show, but yet cannot change the channel. Once it goes on, no matter there's 8 minutes left or 23 minutes left, when I flip it over to Best Week Ever, I do not change it until the show is over.
It's the TV equivalent of that quesadilla you had at the airport last night.
That's right. Not what I ordered, right. But I can't put it down.
Can't put it down.
Cannot put it down.
I'm the same way about doing the show.
Really?
And they call me to do it every week, and I'm like... All right. And then I come out and I go, hey, that was fun. That was fun sitting there for an hour and riffing on whatever was in the news. But I certainly don't get on MySpace and tell everybody to check it out this week.
No, but formatically, man, it works. Yeah. The people are funny on it, but you don't look at it and go, oh, this is a stroke of brilliance. You just look at it and go, yeah, I want another 10 minutes.
Hey, it's just like a Star magazine, but you don't have to turn the pages or read.
Yes, it's a Twinkie. It's not a great pastry. It's a Twinkie.
Yes.
It tastes like a Twinkie and you crave it.
Yeah, you got to have it. And then when you're done, you feel a little bit guilty and then you take a nap.
Right. We will go from Twinkies to cannolis, because to me, when I think of an uncut penis, I do think of a cannoli.
That's
if you sort of picture a cannoli, it's got that look to it. We have Marilyn, I guess it's Milos or Milos. We'll figure that out with her. She's a circumcision expert. She's against it. Also, William Stoll, he's into the restoration of the aforementioned Wang. And also Greg, who's no fan of circumcision himself.
Right? I like that there's a woman who's a circumcision expert. Anybody, yes. Any woman who's a penis expert, isn't she a whore? Yeah. Isn't that just a shorter way of saying
Marilyn,
it?
Marilyn, is that true?
I've been teased. I've been called the penis lady. My brother calls me Florence Foreskin.
That's pretty creepy. And so, Marilyn, give us your official title, please.
First of all, my name's Marilyn Milos, and I'm the executive director of the National Organization of Circumcision Information Resource Centers. It's a long name, but the acronym works. It's NOCIRC.
NOCIRC. You're against circumcision.
I am.
And we have William Stoll on the line.
Yes, Adam.
William, did you restore your own foreskin or what was left of it?
Well, I'm actually still in the process of it. It's quite a lengthy process.
Mm-hmm.
He also switched his name from Bill to William at the same time.
How does the process go of reestablishing one's foreskin?
Well, basically, you know, unless you have an extremely tight circumcision, you should have a remnant of your foreskin left, mm-hmm. and it works by... putting gentle, constant tension on the skin to help promote the growth of new skin cells.
Mm-hmm. So just like somebody could put a plate in their lip or put ever enlarging hoops in their ears, you can stretch the skin out.
Well, I hate to call it stretching because you don't want to, it should never be painful.
Right.
And stretching, you know, implies that you're just kind of tugging on it until it stretches out. And that's why women get stretch marks and whatnot. But if you do it correctly, it actually promotes the growth of new skin cells, and you can get a very convincing look.
How much difference is it between the skin around the penis and, let's say, the lobes of your ears or your lip or some other part that you would stretch out over time?
Well, the foreskin's kind of unique because most people don't realize this, but the head of the penis is actually supposed to be a mucous membrane, mm-hmm. like the inside of your mouth or the inside of your vagina.
Okay.
Or not your vagina, obviously.
Right, right.
But, remove the foreskin, it dries out and literally becomes calloused by being exposed to the elements mm-hmm. over so mm-hmm. many years.
Mm. Mine's become calloused from watching too much porn, but...
Well, you know.
That's an emotional thing.
It would be quicker to just go to TGI Fridays and get some calamari, take one, bring it home, sew it on.
Sew it on. Yeah.
I can't advocate that particular process.
So you're saying that most guys, and I've been aware of this for some time, most guys are relatively have something to work with. You say 90% of guys. It varies from moil to moil. But most guys have something to work with, and if you can take what you have left to work with and stretch it out, you can sort of recreate a foreskin.
Right. You know, it's not the same because there's a lot of sexual sensation that's in a foreskin that you can never get back. The foreskin is the most sensitive part of the penis.
Of the male body, actually.
Of the male body, yes, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm. The foreskin itself.
Absolutely. There are 10 to 20,000 nerve endings that encircle the opening of the foreskin. These are the nerve endings like the nerve endings in your fingertips, mm-hmm. but they're much more highly concentrated. So these are the nerve endings that let a man know what his penis is feeling and where he is in relationship to the ejaculatory trigger.
Which
without them, circumcised men often suffer from premature ejaculation because they go, oops, honey, sorry, it's because I'm so sensitive. No. It's
Have you been on my website?
it's not because you're so sensitive. It's because you've lost. Somebody did that to you. It's not that you don't have enough experience. You didn't read enough books. You're insensitive to your partner's needs. It's somebody did that to you, and you no longer can ride the wave to orgasm. My circumcised husband said, I ejaculate. I've never had an orgasm.
Is that how you referred to your circumcised husband?
That's tragic.
CH, for sure.
Wait a minute. Your husband... Your circumcised husband says that he has ejaculated, but he's never had an orgasm.
He's never ridden the wave to orgasm.
Wow.
I've heard that from thousands of men.
But that's what your husband says. So he's nuttier than you are.
No, I've heard this for the last... I'm a nurse, and I've been doing this for 27 years. What got me going was I witnessed a circumcision as a mother... First, I was a mother, and my sons were circumcised. I didn't know enough to protect them. I was lied to by the doctor who said it wouldn't hurt, it'll only take a second. I didn't know that it was a primal wound. I didn't know it interfered with the maternal infant bonding and breastfeeding. And
when were you molested, baby?
I saw a botch one on the internet once in Africa where they took it off right down to the nuts. That made the decision for me. Did you ever see that clip?
No.
It was like a witch doctory job, and they just took everything off. And the father then beat the doctor to death on the video.
That seems fair.
It's a different culture. We can't judge. Adam. Yes.
If I may, for a second, here's something that I'm not sure your screeners have told you, but when I turned 18, I became the first man in America to sue the doctor and hospital that circumcised me, and I won a settlement.
You Jewish, sir?
No, I'm not Jewish.
How much did you win, William?
I can't say. It's part of the settlement process.
I see. And, boy, that seems like it would be a very slippery slope if you open that door. Everyone able to sue their doctors for performing circumcision on them? Did he botch yours?
No, it wasn't botched. It was, normal as... quote-unquote, people describe it.
Right, but shouldn't you be suing your parents and not the guy who performed the function?
Who had the scalpel?
Yeah, well...
Who wielded the scalpel? That doctor should have said no.
Listen, Marilyn.
I cannot cut off normal, healthy, sexually functioning tissue off an unconsenting minor. It's his body and his right to have that part of his body. When he grows up, if he wants to cut off 20,000 nerve endings and leave a scar on his penis...
I've had tissue
instead.
At the end of my penis also, but it wasn't flesh.
He didn't know it was there. It was in homeroom when he discovered it.
Can I ask Marilyn?
Hey, hold on. Marilyn, I want to know, first off, what happened to you, baby? Who molested you?
Let's back it up.
Something happened.
Before a male knows he has a penis to protect.
So you don't want to talk earlier than that. I want to talk about your stepdad's penis. What happened? Marilyn, what happened to
Look
you?
Look inside.
Field hockey practice. You came home, you're a little sweaty.
Something happened. What happened, baby? Something snapped your twig a long time ago. What happened?
No, being lied to by the doctor. And then,
who else lied to you, Marilyn?
No, yes. Uncle, stepdad.
Marilyn, do you self pleasure?
In fact, it was a grandfather. But
grandfather molested you?
Yes, and in fact, somebody.
Hold on a second. Shocking! Scrape me off the ground. What a shocker!
Took you under a minute to get out.
Okay. Oh, and I knew it before I spoke to her. I just wanted to let her get a few words out about the prepuce.
What did Grandpa do to you?
And somebody asked me a couple years ago. It took me 25 years to come to the realization. A man said to me, "Why you? Why did you hear the scream when nobody else did?" And I said, "Probably because I was molested as a child." Mm. And he said, "Oh, it's the scream that you made and you identified with it." And I said, "No. When I was a child, we couldn't say no. We couldn't scream."
Grandpa,
so,
right?
Yeah.
Was your grandfather circumcised?
I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe that would be traumatic. If he was circumcised, mm-hmm. it might remind you of a traumatic. Mm-hmm.
Did he ever get prosecuted, Marilyn?
No.
What happened? Is he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Mazel tov.
The work, of course, is how do you forgive someone who's done that to you so that you just can heal yourself.
You don't.
I don't forgive him either. And don't forgive him. But here's what I want to say to all folks that were molested. Whether you forgive grandpa, the uncle, or stepdad or not, that's between you and them. Please stop beating society over the head with the energy that you have from the molestation.
No, in this case, I'm not beating society.
No, nobody knew you were molested. That was just a stab in the dark that you have so much energy.
It was out of you on the Lilith Fair. You had two options.
All right, there's a shocker.
I would prefer it if you appreciated my passion for this.
I'm frightened of it, quite frankly, because it's neither here nor there.
I like your passion,
William,
for it. I agree with it.
Yes, I want to talk to you about restoring the foreskin, because I feel like there's folks in this studio that are candidates for this. I want to know how long it takes. Obviously, it's going to take some time to restore the foreskin, but how long? I know it depends where you start from, but let's just say an average circumcision. What's it going to take? Is it medical tape? Is it fishing weights? And how long?
Well, actually, foreskin restoration has become much more sophisticated than the old medical tape methods and fishing weights that you've heard of. There's a lot of different commercial devices you can get, which I don't sell any of them. You can find them on your own. I'm not going to plug a particular one.
Right.
So it's come a long way. So foreskin restoration has actually been around as long as circumcision.
And is it? Well, it probably came in a day later. Do all these devices just apply a sort of constant but steady pressure?
Right. That's basically what they do, and it works. I started. The answer for how long it takes has basically three factors. One, it depends on how much skin you want to achieve. Most men that are into this, they want to go all the way and have full coverage while they're erect.
I'd like to be able to tuck it in my sock, because to me, that counts as part of the penis.
You know, I'd like to be able to be a drug mule with
mine. Believe in you, Adam. If you want to do that, you can achieve it.
All right, so you can keep going. You can pass the end of your penis and just keep going.
Yes, right. One man said to me...
The floor's the limit, as I like to say.
He was so proud of what he was doing that he wanted to keep going. He said, how will I know when I've got too much? I said, well, maybe when you start tripping over it, you'll...
Yeah, I want my nickname to be Aardvark.
It might become a problem, you know?
That's right.
Well, how come there's nothing wrong with William? You guys nailed Marilyn. There's got to be something wrong with William.
We'll get into him later. Listen, William, so how long to get it about? I know it varies from wang to wang, but basic ballpark. What am I looking for, 6 months or 6 years?
The average that I've heard is about 2 years.
About 2 years.
A year and a half, three years.
It depends on how often you wear the device each day, how much skin was taken. I've talked to men that so much of their foreskin was taken that they actually have the head of their penis, and then as the shaft starts, there's all their pubic hair, because they've taken so much of the shaft skin during the circumcision that the area that has the pubic hair on it has had to migrate to compensate for it.
Yeah, seen that at the Y a few times. Heavy set guys with
hair
with
on the
pants hanging over.
Wait, you say with hair coming up the shaft?
Yeah, right. it looks like someone put an army helmet on top of a shrub. It's a horrible, it's a horrible look.
That's because they've had so much of their foreskin removed.
And somebody did that to that child, and to the man he becomes.
It is so sad, the barbaric culture we live in. But I will say this, as my former partner, Dr. Drew, used to always bring up, because he had his son circumcised. You know, there's been new studies about spreading HPV warts, and that the folks that...
Baloney. Circumcision will not prevent those things. If you want to prevent those by cutting something off, you're going to have to cut off the whole darn thing.
So be it.
Yeah.
Well,
let me bring up a point, because Adam has been the moderator of this debate so far, when really you are you're the guy making the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's curious to me that you're a guy who is very free-thinking, progressive, independent-minded. I don't even know if you're a Republican or a Democrat anymore.
I don't know what I am either.
I like that.
Yeah.
And yet, this is a decision that, in my mind, is based almost completely on conformity. Mm-hmm. Wanting your kid to fit in. And that seems to be the whole impetus for your decision.
Your own condition. For the father wants to validate his condition, the faster he gets rid of that kid's foreskin, the faster he feels.
How did you get involved in this question, Marilyn? I specifically aimed this one at Adam. Tried to give you a little time out.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Go, baby, go.
It's true.
I want my son to be essentially a smaller version of me. I've already taken a Sharpie and drawn in a monobrow. I've given him a nasally drone by pinching his nose off, so when he cries, he sounds like, nah, nah, nah.
Then he's me. Recognize him. He gets lost at the beach.
Right? Yes, we both have like sex with my wife. He, we are. There's no difference between
it's
the two of us.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So the question is no, I disagree to a certain extent with that part where you need your son's penis to look the same as your penis. I believe there's plenty of circumcised guys who went that way and whose wangs do not match up.
Well, Adam, I'm a sociology major, and I've been looking into this. Actually, I've been looking into circumcision since 1996.
Wow.
And you would be surprised
looking into it.
At how many...
through a glory hole.
Yeah.
Well, after...
William, you're gay, right?
No, I'm not gay.
What?
I'm actually married to a woman.
A woman, a beard, a bearded sham of a relationship, though. You're not actually engaging what we call a heterosexual relationship, are you?
No, of course. I have a 3-year-old daughter.
Mm.
What's your favorite show tune?
My favorite show tune? I don't have show tunes.
Okay. Good answer. All right, William, sorry. Go ahead.
But you'd be surprised at how often I hear the argument that, well, we wanted him to look like his father. And
yeah, it comes up, but I don't think it's something that guys at least willingly admit. I mean, that makes you a pretty shallow person to say that your son's trying to look like yours.
But from what I heard from you, Adam, you said it was that you didn't want women to have an adverse reaction to him. You want him to look like other boys.
That's true.
If French women say to me, or European women say, how can American women have foreplay without a foreskin to play with? Why would you deny him something? Why would you? This is called.
Because I'd like him to get laid before his third year junior college. Well, I've already planned it out for the kid. It's not a four. It's not 4-year material. Let's face it.
I went into I teach human sexuality classes, and
hold on. I picture you as one of these women with super short hair but huge earrings. When your earrings pass your hairline, that's trouble for the Ace Man.
No,
when the hair's up here and the earring hangs down 6 inches lower than the hair.
Beads.
First of all,
and I picture you with a crew neck sweater that you keep pulling up to try to turn into a turtleneck.
No.
Sorry, Marilyn. Go ahead.
All right, but this is you're talking about penile reduction surgery. Circumcision reduces the pleasure and the size of the penis. Why
the
would
size?
You do that? Of course, you can't cut something off and have more.
Vagina.
Well,
the foreskin is the skin that accommodates the full erection. One of the major complaints I hear from men are tight erections, tearing at the scar site.
There's also stenosis of the opening of the foreskin.
Easily remedied.
All right. Well, you don't want to hear about the problems with people that are uncut.
I've heard about them for 27 years, darling. I'm a registered nurse.
Can I ask you this, Marilyn? I don't know. I'm not a penis technician like yourself, but I've always, and tell me if this is wrong when it comes to speaking about penis size, I've always measured from the center of the anus to just past the tip. That's.
I mean, then you got a big one, don't you?
Yes.
I go from the lumbar part of the spine.
Oh, do you? Oh.
C7.
Oh, I always went up to just below the neck. I can't believe you're starting that low. Why handicap yourself? All right, Marilyn and William, thank you for your candor.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate it. You know, there's nothing that makes the Ace Man lose more sleep than when he knows someone was molested and they deny it.
She didn't deny it for very long.
No, she was right on top of it.
I just want to say that women do a lot of things cosmetically just because men like it. And I know you maybe can't compare, but look, we shave, we wax.
Right.
A lot of women get boob jobs. We do a lot of stuff,
wax?
Too. Yes, I do.
Never, please.
Completely?
No, but, you know, just to, you know, keep things neat.
Nipple hair? Do you wax nipple hair?
Greg.
Nuts. It's a big issue for women.
I know you can't compare it. I just think we do a lot of things cosmetically.
That's
because
right.
It's pleasing.
But honestly, like the one thing that really bums me out is that when a woman neglects the nipple hair. I mean, a couple of strays
who
and
does
it's,
that?
It's over.
Who does that? Who would do that?
I used to date a woman who felt like it was a statement.
Really?
Like this is the way they're supposed to be.
Ellen didn't wax her nipples?
Oh. Is that what it was? She left a few strays?
But do you pluck them or do you wax them?
I swear to you, I don't have nipple hair.
Never had one?
No. Stop looking at
what,
me.
But are you Italian or what are you?
Hungarian.
Hungarian and you have no nipple hair?
No, look,
right?
I'm not a hairy girl.
They lead the world in nipple hair.
I'm not a hairy person.
No? Okay.
Nice. Refreshing. All right.
We need to take a break. Craig Fitzsimmons, thank you for joining in our very spirited debate. To answer any lingering questions about my son, my wife had him circumcised without discussing it with me,
no.
by the way. Well, to be fair to her, I do tune out to the lion's share of our exchanges, so she may have, in fact, brought it up, but I just, you know, I was watching The Contender at the time, and who knows. Point is, she had him circumcised at the hospital 2 days after the kid was born, and I wasn't even aware of it, but I was cool with it anyway. Because,
so I thought you're Jewish.
No, just funny. We will take a quick break.
And damaged.
Greg Fitzsimmons, God bless you. Fits of Laughter, name of the CD in stores, yes.
Can you stick around for news?
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
By the way,
CD, sadly, not in the stores, only on my website right now.
Oh.
GregFitzsimmons.com.
Well, there's where you go to get it. Also, yeah. Letterman, August 18th, his triumphant return. Teresa, what's coming up in the news?
First of all, I don't have nipple hair. That's the most important news story of the day. Also, there's some audio from Mel Gibson's wild night out before his DUI. We have that. And if you did not hear or see anything about the battle on The View yesterday, you cannot go through the rest of your day without hearing it. Barbara Walters and Elizabeth Hasselbeck went at it.
Awesome, because I left here, went right for the Vegas airport, and got home at 11:30 last night. Did not see one second of the news or anything else. So I'm poised and ready for this. Greg Fitzsimmons going to hang in with us for news and sports after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, Russell and I have been living together for 2 years. The problem is he and his best friend Whitney have been emailing back and forth, and I have discovered some things I'm not comfortable with. Russell uses my pet names with Whitney and says he would be lost without her and that he loves her. I know they aren't having sex, but their email suggests that he's cheating on me emotionally. I love Russell and don't want to lose him, but I can't handle this anymore. Please help me. Devastated in Iowa.
They're devastated. It appears Whitney is carrying a torch for Russell, and he has a soft spot for it, too. My advice is stop hiding the fact that you've seen the emails and clear the air. Make the email Exhibit A. Tell him you snooped because you feel threatened. And then cross your fingers. Russell's response will tell you where you and your relationship stand with him.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
James Tony, not one of those kind of guys who, if he picked up the phone and you had a beef with him, you'd ever say, "I'm coming down there."
You wouldn't expect that kind of advice from him.
No, that's the thing. The range the guy shows, not only in the ring, but outside of the ring. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. All right, Greg Fitzsimmons in studio. Fits of Laughter, name of the CD, can only be found at Greg's house. You must actually, we'll give his address out later, but if you show up at his house, he'll fire one via wrist rocket down from the second floor.
I believe it's also being sold out of the trunk of his car, too, right?
Yeah, but it's up on blocks at his house, so technically we're both right. You can go to his website. What is that website, Greg?
It's GregFitzsimmons.com, Adam, or you can go to MySpace and check me out at FitzDog.
Go to FitzDog or GregFitzsimmons.com, buy that CD, and watch Lucky Louie as well. A great show on HBO, Sunday nights, 10:30.
That you write on, sorry.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
It is. It's a fantastic show. Now, time for the aforementioned news with Teresa Strasser.
Well, for the first time in almost a week, Israeli warplanes renewed airstrikes against Beirut. This coming a day after Hezbollah launched its most massive rocket attack against Israel yet. 3 weeks into the conflict, roughly 10,000 Israeli troops are locked in battle with hundreds of Hezbollah guerrillas in a war that experts are saying will be bitter and long. At this point, more than 1 million Lebanese people, or a quarter of the population, have been displaced.
I kind of feel like a kid
just standing over an anthole watching them go at it with some termites, you know? That's what I think this country must just feel like. Wow, you kids are really going at it over there. Fantastic.
I'm just always amazed there's something else they can blow up over there. I mean, how big is it that it's been going on this long and they still have targets?
At a certain point, you think the dartboard would be full and you'd just be throwing darts into the back end of other darts at a certain point, like Board Op Bill does on the weekends. Oh. Yeah, it's like, really? There's stuff higher than a story and a half over there? Yeah. What do you guys got?
Yeah, and the other thing is, I got a proposal for the UN. You got a country, you got a civil war, you got a beef with another country, you got 10 years. Work it out. If you don't, we're taking your land, and we're giving it to France, just to really piss you off. I don't want to keep reading about Israel and any other country that anybody's fighting in the Middle East. If it goes on for 10 years, it's never going to be solved.
Yeah. You are the Hatfields and the McCoys. I think they've taken to blowing up like barbecues and shrubs and fountains and stuff like that. I think they're off of buildings. It appears to me that there's nothing higher than 3 feet in the entire country. Now they've just taken to blowing up. Well, we blew up a crater.
Now yeah, I think there's an unexploded missile in that crater. Let's hit it again.
Well, Mel Gibson's career has exploded.
Yeah.
Nice transition.
Thank
nice.
You. Yesterday, he was charged with misdemeanor drunk driving, having an elevated blood alcohol level, and having an open container of liquor in his car. We believe that to be tequila. If convicted, he faces up to 6 months in jail. Now, the show Extra tracked down three strangers who were partying, and I hate to use that as a verb, but in this case, they really were. They were partying with Mel in Malibu just a couple hours before he was pulled over. Here is the interview.
There were a number of times where I asked him why he was there alone and where he'd been before. I don't recall getting a straight answer.
I guess we met him around 1:15, 1:30, so until the bar closed.
When they told us everything that he had said, we were in shock and awe because he was so kind and nice to us. We couldn't see, you know, there'd be two faces to him, basically.
Maybe they weren't Jews.
The other thing, too, is what are you doing shaking down the A-lister who's having a few nips at the bar? Where have you been? What are you doing here alone? Really? Can't go out and enjoy a pop without the old lady, without being shaken down by a tourist? Really? You had to sweat the guy like he was at Guantanamo Bay? Where were you before this?
I'm at Moon Shadows, not Abu Ghraib.
I know.
By the way, Mel Gibson's father is denying that the DUI
happened.
It never existed.
There's no good proof of it.
I don't mind the preferential treatment. I've said this many times. I know this doesn't, it's not going to win me any popularity contest. But Mel's paid in $500 million worth of taxes over the last 20 years. He gets in the preferential club.
Well,
no problem with that.
As you well know, a website actually broke this story called TMZ.com, and we're having, what's his name, Levin? His first name.
It's Harvey.
Harvey Levin is going to be on the show later. We should mention
Sounds
that.
Sounds like a Jew.
There's a very high likelihood that he is.
And he broke the story. Interesting.
Interesting. Are you saying that?
Look, as a Catholic, I feel like I have to defend Mel Gibson. Look. I'm not saying the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world today, but I think they are responsible for most of the bad musical theater.
Oh, yeah. That's good, true. Have you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? Yeah.
I mean, without them, that...
Yeah.
Financing most of the stuff on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're the money. Yeah, that's right.
You can
the
go
money
in a lot
man.
Of directions
That's
with
right.
This
that's right. It's true. I pick a weak one. All right.
Lashing
keep going,
out team. Against Sondheim. Okay, so now to the fight on The View. Yesterday... Oh, it was so ugly. Conservative co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck got heated about the FDA's decision. You know, they have decided to just discuss making the so-called morning after pill available over the counter.
Yeah.
It's called Plan B. It's actually a set of two pills. It can prevent pregnancy if taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse. It doesn't actually terminate an established pregnancy. It prevents a pregnancy from happening.
Yeah, it stops the egg from implanting. I've been over this many times from my Loveline days. It is perfectly safe. It's as safe as the birth control pill
Isn't
is.
Isn't it just two birth control pills?
Yes, and they've been using it in Europe for like 30 years, and there's never been a fatality or injury associated with it, but we have this. The jury is still out. Look, we're worried about the safety. BS, you're being controlled. The FDA is being controlled by conservative White House, and that's why it's not going through, and we're all being punished for it. Just admit that you're God-fearing nut jobs, and at least be truthful. Give us that dignity, at least, instead of hiding behind some pseudo-medical science that doesn't exist. Well, let's not rush in here. It's like eating a couple Pez candies. There's nothing to it. If birth control is safe, so is this. If birth control is not abortion, then neither is this. That's it. Plain and simple.
Once again, not to be contrarian, Adam.
Please.
But, you know, we need Christian soldiers. And the reason why the church is disallowing this is there's a lot of Jewish people in the world.
Oh, it's back to the Jews.
And they are starting a lot of the wars.
Well, we did invent the birth control pill. I believe it was a Jew. But Adam is right. It actually has been used in the States as early as the 60s in cases of, you know, rape and incest, etc. It's used in Europe. In fact, in France, school nurses have access to the pill. Anyway.
I just say, let me get on my high horse for one more second here. It's not the government's job to try to put their own religious ideologies up the tuchus of the populace. Your job, especially with FDA, you're scientists, everybody. Whether it's global warming or the morning after pill, check out the data, report it accurately, and then let's set policy based on that, not based on your own retarded, confused religious beliefs.
There's no global warming, and this country is a Christian country. And if you want to fight that, that's why we're not having the morning after pill, because we need more of us.
I'll tell you what's warming this globe, the yarmulkes.
That's right.
That's right. It's like putting a giant yarmulke over the globe.
Okay, well.
You'd be warm, too.
This is probably going to upset you, but I'm going to have to play it. Here is Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
This is round one. Hasselbeck on The View.
These kinds of issues arouse the strongest emotions.
My heart is like almost out of my chest right now.
Okay.
That's
why?
How strongly. I feel very strongly about this. And I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of people feel this way. I feel as though, and I believe that life begins at the moment of conception and when that egg is fertilized. To me, it's the same thing as birthing a baby and leaving it on the street.
Okay.
That's right. There's no difference.
Exactly.
Then here's what happens. Joy Behar chimes in and she tries to say, you know, look, in cases of rape or incest, it seems like, you know, this would be a good alternative.
Uh-oh.
Round two.
Hold on. Is she another Jew?
I wish that.
No.
Oh, thank Christ.
She's Italian.
By the way, I just want to say my Jonathan Katz, one of my favorite jokes, is he goes, I think life begins after the second cup of coffee.
Okay. Brian?
Funny, Joe.
Hit me.
One of the good ones.
I wish that it were available. I'm just saying, I don't believe it's the right thing, but this is a slippery slope to just eliminating life. And you know what? For people who want the government to stay out of their business and do what the heck you want with your body and stay, keep them out,
like
then why are you for universal health care?
Folks, okay? We could go
you want
on.
That same government.
Elizabeth, calm down, dear.
I can't.
Wow.
Okay, then they go to a commercial, and when they come back, it seems clear that Hasselbeck has been crying. There's an apology.
Let me just say
yes,
this.
Please.
And Teresa, I'm sorry, baby. Okay. This one's going to hit close to home. But this is why women shouldn't be allowed at the workplace. Because you start getting into it with a dude and about
he told me to F off.
I know. Dave made Teresa cry her second day on the job.
Really?
She cried pretty good. And it's uncomfortable for all of us because it's funny. But yet we feel like we should say something. So
I think that was like one of the first days I was here. That was how long ago?
Three months.
Yeah, 3 months. I remember that.
It feels like 6 months, yeah, but it was only a few
weeks.
That's
true.
When you get into an argument with a guy at work, about the furthest it'll ever get is, dude, we were this close to throwing down, but that's it. And then you do that weird macho hug when you're done and you move on with life. Women start crying, and no matter how right you are or where you're at in the argument, once the waterworks turn on, now it's weird and uncomfortable. It takes a strange turn. There should be some sort of Geneva Convention for work arguments that shouldn't involve tears. But once they come, we feel like heels.
Well, they shouldn't involve yelling at people to F themselves. And I'm only human, and I stand up for my right to cry.
All right, baby doll.
I might do it right now.
The other thing is women will not only cry, but the second the tears come, the plotting begins. They will start infiltrating the office with a coalition against you subtly, but they'll set up the foundation for what will be an overthrow of you someday.
Well, there was no coup day, Dave. For the record, I forgave him instantaneously a month later.
And you'll never know they're doing it.
We made our peace.
Made you cry, though, right?
No. Okay, moving on.
Sorry.
Here's what happened when Barbara Walters tried to make it all better.
We have to have a way of discussing this without exploding. because people have to understand each other. We started talking about anti-Semitic remarks and inflammatory, and there has to be a way of discussing this
there
without...
Okay,
can we stop now?
Sure,
we all have passion,
stop.
But... We have to go on, and we have to learn how to discuss these things in some sort of rational way.
Then there was the real victim in all this was Lisa Loeb, because she was guest hosting, and she was sitting there with her little dress on, a little pink bow, and she just looked like she was shell-shocked. She didn't know what hit her. She thought they were...
Sounds to me like Barbara Walters has had a few abortions in her day, huh? Overseas, covering a story.
One time my grandmother called me fat. In high school, we weren't in high school. I was 32, but she called me fat at the table when, in fact, I was an All-Valley football player. But she kept referring to me as fat. There was a poor couple visiting from out of town who was eating dinner with us, and we launched into each other for about 45 minutes in a horrible beer-fueled tirade right in front of the nice couple from Texas that came in. And I really know how Lisa Loeb must have felt now, that sweet little
angel.
Well,
it's like, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf when the couple has the horrible fight in front of the sweet couple that's just sitting there in the crossfire? Yes. Lisa Loeb at one point managed to get in like, you know, a few words edgewise, but she didn't know.
Oh, that's
well,
beautiful.
That is precious. Greg Fitzsimmons here, by the way. Fits of Laughter, name of the CD. Swing by Greg's house and pick it up. I'm sorry, T.
No, that's okay.
We had once, my father drank a bit, and my cousin was in town, and we didn't know him that well. And I don't know if my father knew he was going to be staying with us for a couple days. So my father comes in tanked. And, you know, when you're in an alcoholic family, you're just used to dad sitting at the head of the table, mumbling, literally taking all the food, not noticing that nobody else has the food.
Did he call you sugar teats?
Yeah. And so my cousin was there, and he started crying. And nobody else, no one else thought anything was unusual. It was just like, it's his dad. You know, it's Wednesday. It's 5 o'clock.
Sure, happy hour. He's loaded.
And dad felt, you know, he's like falling out of his chair. And we just look at our own food and don't look up and eat. You know, and you go watch Gilligan's Island. And my poor cousin was traumatized by it.
Yeah, that's why when you have a horrible dysfunctional family like Greg and I grew up in, do not invite strangers in to be the sort of UN observers of your family, because they start saying stuff like, why doesn't your mom shave her underarms?
Yeah.
Why is she so fat? How come your house is so messy? And then all of a sudden you go, oh, Christ, this is depressing. I thought this was just it, but now I'm going to kill myself.
Let's keep the curtains closed here. Yep. No, he didn't. No one invited that guy. He wanted to go to the Westchester Classic, so he came to stay at our house for free.
Well, that's what you get for freeloading off the Fitzsimmons.
That's right. You get a little insight into how bad things can get.
Well, I love that story, and that explains the obsession with P9.
Yes.
How does that explain it?
We'll talk after the show.
My spirit's been broken. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Let's get straight to the national pastime, shall we? It's been, for the Dodger season, it's gone this way and then it's gone back that way. It's not unlike the uncircumcised penis that you're trying to get, or the circumcised one you're trying to get back to circumcised.
I corked my penis. Yes.
Well, I know you would like the baseball season.
Hit farther?
I get a little extra distance, yeah. Right. A little more pop.
I got pine tar at the base of my shaft.
Really? I thought you'd just been eating chocolate.
Bums, though, have won 5 straight. They're on the uptick.
Yeah.
After last night's
Soon
win against
the... 500 again.
Getting close. They won last night against the Cincinnati's. They're now 3 back in the division and the wild card. Can they make the postseason? This reporter says perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to make that one.
Only another 119 games to find out.
First place Padres shamed in Petco by Houston. Gigantics get off the schneid with a win against the Nationals. Snakes rained out in Wrigley. Junior Circuit Athletics take 2 of 3 in Orange County in their series against the Halos. Yesterday, Oakland scratched out a 3-2 win. As a bonus, the win went to relief pitcher, A's relief pitcher, Kiko Calero.
That's
some name on
him. Wow.
Mariners took one in Baltimore. They're quietly only 3 back in the AL West. Now, Anna Kournikova, there's a lot of talk that she might be making a comeback.
Mm.
Now, in my ongoing effort to come off as a heterosexual man, an effort that's met with middling results over the last several decades, I know I'm supposed to swoon at the idea of Anna Kournikova being back on the court, but I find it very creepy. The man, the grown man who goes on the online and ogles pictures of Anna Kournikova in her tennis gear. Yes, the man who sits alone in his study and masturbates himself to pictures of a woman in a tennis outfit. That's a particular kind of creep.
Why?
Yes?
But it's not a Catholic schoolgirl's outfit. You know what I mean?
There's something weird about a grown man who sits in front of a computer and looks at pictures of Kournikova.
I agree. I find the tennis outfit to be one of the more attractive outfits out there.
It is, but you wouldn't pull your pants down over it, would you?
Well, I've been ruined by pornography now. I once in a while start off thinking, I'm just going to look at a little softcore something. I'll pick up an old Playboy for it, but immediately it spills right into the German stump stuff I find on the internet. It's a slippery slope.
It's almost like rebuilding your foreskin. You have to, like, I took a complete break from porno. After the AVNs, I was pornoed out, which I hosted in January.
And then the Porn Awards,
right. I took 2 months off completely from porno, because I'm almost exclusively Asian porn.
Mm-hmm.
And really? Foot fetishy, a little foot fetishy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to take it down to only Showtime. I watched Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like methadone, kind of.
Yeah, it gives you a little taste, lets you wet your beak.
Yeah,
but,
you're still chipping away, but you're not a full-blown addict at this
point. And now I'm able to freestyle. For the first time in years, I can go non-aid.
Wow. Yeah. You just close your eyes and...
Close my eyes.
And hark, you know what's sad? I've done this a few times. It's pathetic.
Thank you.
You think to yourself, look, I've been around long enough. I don't need to use this pornography. I'll just close my eyes and use my imagination. And then I fantasize about porn I saw 4 years ago. Yeah, remember Taboo 3? Ooh, those were the days.
Oh, that's funny.
It's pathetic.
Third-generation stimuli.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I also had a problem because I've always been like never had a problem getting it up, keeping it up,
right,
paying it off my whole life. For whatever reason, had a drinking problem, didn't matter. Yeah. Stormed through it like an Irishman.
Yeah.
You got to create soldiers.
Sure.
So I recently turned 40, and 40 just kicked my ass, and I recently... was having sex with my wife, and for the first time ever, couldn't pop, couldn't complete.
Wow.
And as I rolled off her in a sweaty heap of failure, she first thing out of her mouth, "Are you gay?"
Wow!
After 10 years together,
jeez.
Are you gay? Like, that's all it took.
Wow!
Without a hint of irony. She really wants to know.
Well, I had been doing a couple of bits about how when I was a teenager, I was confused about whether I might be gay or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that had clearly stuck in her...
craw.
Craw?
That's
what is
right.
A craw?
I don't know, but you can get stuck in it.
You get stuck in it.
Yeah.
And if you don't use enough lube, you can't finish.
So anyway, right. That started the regimen of getting my libido back in a more pure state.
Well, you're back now?
Oh, yeah. I hit it twice yesterday.
Nice.
Yep. Didn't even want to.
Wow.
You know, it's like working out. Sometimes you're a little sore and you go...
You go in, huh?
Still trying to convince the old lady that you're
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You overcompensate, you're going to scare her, though. You know what I'm saying?
She needs to be scared. You know, okay. She needs to feel my power.
She's a wake-up call.
Yeah, the sex with us has always been good, and it started to get... It's, you know, when you're married for after a while, especially with a couple kids, which you'll see after a while... Mm-hmm. Time's limited, and you start to go to here A, B, C. She can time it out.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss my breasts.
Right.
Roll over, and done.
Right.
You know, and so you gotta at some point you gotta start scaring her again. Like, you know, push the envelope, do something.
To your hand or just a wild one?
She doesn't know it's behind her.
Okay.
But she got mirrors.
Right. Good point.
You know, let her worry about it.
All right, listen, from your mouth to God's ears again. I'm writing all this down.
This is good advice.
Dave, I'm sorry, we're running terribly late here. How are you doing?
So be it.
You're good?
Let it be done.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, well, Greg Fitzsimmons has to run. He's got to drop a digit on his wife. So we'll say God bless him. And tell you that Fits of Laughter, name of the CD, go online, go to GregFitzsimmons.com and find that. It's going to be on Letterman August 18th, so he's got to be good. Harvey Levin coming up on the show, Republican Richard Martin, my twins calling in. Oh, so much more to go after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
He doesn't like gays. He loves God. He's a Christian on a mission. Conservative. He's pro-life. He's pro-war. He doesn't trust blacks. Says they're lazy and poor. He's Richard Martin, the Republican.
We have Representative, I thought there's more. Sometimes I think it's going to be the whole song. We have him on the phone. Richard Martin.
How are you, Adam? Good to hear your voice.
Great to talk to you. He's a Republican representative from the great state of Ohio. Normally, he comes into studio. Why
don't
are you
tell
not...
me he's actually in his home state.
Are you in Ohio?
No, actually, I'm in my... I'm in my mansion in Hawaii.
Just he spends almost no time in the state that he represents.
That does not mean I don't care about the great people of Ohio, Adam.
Okay, but you're sort of doing, you're pulling the strings from Hawaii, that's all.
I am. You know, I'm just overseeing the finishing touches on my mansion. It's gorgeous. It's on a cliff. It's built on the remains of some Hawaiian king whose name escapes me, but it's tremendous.
Seems like it'd be hard to stay in touch with the common man over in Cleveland or Toledo, up in a mansion in Hawaii.
You know, I read the paper.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Reads USA Today. Yeah. Well, what do you make? Well, the reason we brought you on today is to sort of chime in about this whole Mel Gibson thing. This guy's being thrown to the dogs. I don't know where you come out on it. I don't know if you're a fan or a friend or what you think, but he's a religious man. I know you are as well. What do you think about it?
You know, Adam. Who hasn't had a couple and chased the help with a shovel?
I see. So you're saying he had a few pops. He got a little out of line.
Yeah, everybody, you know, everybody gets a little crazy. You have a couple too many martinis, you know, and next thing you know, things get a little ugly. You say a couple things you don't mean. The next day you laugh about it. You tee it up, you know.
Hold on, I just want to chime in. Not everybody has help around the house. Not everyone plays golf the following morning after tying one on. You know, some people go to work and they can't afford help.
Okay. I think what we're seeing, though, Adam, is what we're seeing is the ongoing persecution of the wealthy white Christian male.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying he's being nailed to the cross because he's wealthy and he's white.
Absolutely.
So do you agree with what he said about the Jews starting all the wars?
Not Grenada.
You're saying that's one skirmish. It's really more of a conflict than a war, but that's one they didn't start.
I think that's the only one.
Interesting.
They started the Civil War.
Well, I think that was over slavery and many other things.
Exactly. You know, they taunted the blacks like a dog through a fence. They said, "We used to be slaves." That's why the hatred today between the blacks and the Jews. That's why Sammy Davis had demons. His left foot was the south, his right foot was the north. He had to dance.
Oh.
Had the Mason-Dixon line running up his buttocks.
I don't know if that's true. Well, look, let's just move forward here because this is sounding a little anti-Semitic, really.
That's offensive, Adam. That's offensive. Not only to me, but to my several close personal Jewish friends.
So you're saying you have Jewish friends?
I do. And, you know, they agree that there are other things Mel should have been apologizing about, you know. The movie What Women Want.
You know, for instance, yeah.
Inspired a wave of lesbian activity.
Well, should we accept his apology?
Yeah, I think we should. You know, he worships the one true God, and let's take him on his word. You know, the Christians, we believe that forgiveness is, I think it says in the Bible, go ahead and forgive.
Is that a quote?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it says go ahead, but you're paraphrasing, I know. This is, by the way, Republican Richard Martin, the representative from the great state of Ohio, but
as we've talked about earlier, rarely in his, in the state he represents. What do you think on a bigger global picture? What do you think about the whole thing going on in the Middle East right now?
You know, the oil's safe.
Yeah, right.
You know, this is what happens when you spread freedom, Adam. You know, our brand of freedom is... We throw freedom with some heat, you know. Sometimes it's going to knuckle, you know. Sometimes you're not going to get your mitt up. You're going to take one on the forehead. But, you know, do you want to cancel the game? You want to cut and run?
Right,
I understand. You want to be a
quitter? Right.
Sometimes, Adam, you order freedom, you get a side of craters.
Right. See, we accept freedom, and sometimes people get blown up in the process of accepting our freedom. All right. So you're not concerned about all the innocent people who have died over there in the Middle East?
Which ones?
Well, just, men, children, women, folks, farmers.
The Jews or the Arabs? You know, it's like saying, help me, I lost a diamond and a nickel.
I see what you're saying. You're saying there's more value to one of their lives than the other?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to skirt that. You mean, you're saying if someone's an Arab farmer or a Jewish farmer, one of them is worth inherently more?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to say, this is raising some eyebrows around here.
How does this guy get elected?
Yeah. How do you keep getting reelected?
Easy. There's no Arabs in my district.
All right. Well, final question. Have you seen The Passion of the Christ?
You know, the first thing you see when you walk into my office, Adam, is the poster in a red, white, and blue frame. Oh. But no, I have not seen the movie.
No.
But I can't wait to see Mel Gibson as Jesus. It sounds very exciting.
Yeah, I don't think he was in the movie. I think he just produced it.
Really? I thought that didn't look like him on the poster. I thought, boy, you know, he's... He looks a little thin.
Yeah, that's not him. And the Jim Caviezel, okay. I think. Yeah.
Well, okay. The red, white, and blue around the picture of Jesus. I mean, I thought there was separation of church and
state. Because Americans love Jesus, right?
Exactly. Thank you, Terry.
All right. Well, Richard, I know you have a tea time coming up, so we'll let you go. We appreciate you.
I do. Hey, you know, I'm going to be back in L.A., actually, on August 30th.
That's right. You'll be at the Borders in Westwood at 7 o'clock.
That's right. And I may be reading some excerpts from my manuscript. I've got a book coming out called In American Neat.
Is it American Neat?
Yeah.
And you can find that soon on AskARepublican.com?
Yeah. You know, I'm putting it together. I'm looking for a publisher, but I'll be reading from it at Borders on August 30th in Westwood.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing secondhand stories of how that went.
Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you. Okay. Republican Richard Martin from the great state of Ohio.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Mm. It's your show. Mm-hmm. I think we should not give him a place to voice his nonsense.
So now we had Greg Fitzsimmons in here, who may be a little more progressive, and now we have an alternative viewpoint.
Yeah,
That's all.
It's like Barbara Walters said, you have to be able to have a rational discussion.
So that's he's right. Our Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah,
he is. Well, we will take ourselves a break. Something we started yesterday, I think the old Mel Gibson thing got us going on it, which is the dumb drunk stories. Nights you wish you could have taken back, things you wish you hadn't said, times you wish you hadn't got behind the wheel or picked up the gun.
She tasted like champagne.
Yes, we've done dumb things ourselves here, dating back to as far as 4 days ago at the farmer's market for some of us.
I'll tell you what, I once woke up in bed one morning with Bruska's ear.
Oh. Wow.
And a loaded gun.
Wow.
I don't regret that, though.
We will take ourselves a break. We'll give some personal drunken stories of the staff, and we'll hear yours at 866-901-ADAM after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Mel Gibson presents... The Holocaust. When Hitler rises to power and invades Poland, wacky hijinks ensue. It's a blitzkrieg of fun. Mel Gibson presents The Holocaust. Get drunk and drive yourself to the theater today. It's hilarious.
Well, that was the trailer, but they pulled the plug on it now because of recent events. I'll tell you what did come. Well, the good that came from this was we have a bit for the show because we've decided that a lot of people have done things they regret when they're loaded, including yours truly and many of the other folks that are on or around my staff.
Like what, Corolla?
Yes. What was your worst drunken, embarrassing thing you did or said?
I'm a pretty good drunk in that I don't become a different person. I just become me drunk, which is the kind of drunks you want to hang out with, not the folks that black out or get really aggressive or turn into different people. But I used to go to Tijuana and drink when I was younger because we just, you know, lived in Southern California. It took about 3 hours to get to the border, and we would make a run. And we would go down there with, I was going to say sleeping bag and just sleep on the beach, but that was considered an extravagant luxury for the Corolla. So I would take the blanket off of my bed and a pillow, and we would head down to Tijuana. And the plan was we would get ourselves, leave the car at the border, hop in a cab, go out drinking, hang out at a strip club. And then when we were done partying out of money or whatever, oftentimes we'd either go back to San Diego and crash out at a dorm of one of our friends that went to San Diego State, or we just head for the beach and throw the blanket down. Just, I don't know what the beach was. It was whatever beach was closest to Tijuana. And you'd wake up in the morning with the dogs that walk sideways. You know the dogs that walk with the tails tucked in and they walk sort of sideways. They don't trot forward. They kind of walk. They're sort of crescent shape, sort of circling around you as you woke up on the filthy beach with your blanket.
If this story ends with you having sex with one of those crooked dogs,
do not step on it, Dave. One time we were in a place called Margarita's Village, which was in Tijuana on Revolution Street. Now, we used to go to a place called the Unicorn, which was a strip bar, but Margarita's Village was up the street. And I don't know if you guys have heard, but it's essentially a lawless community. And in 1985, it was, earlier than that, because I was like 16 or 17, it was really lawless. And this place, Margarita's Village, had waiters and waitresses that dressed up like clowns and cops and jailbirds, and they blew whistles, and you would get those poppers, you know, where they take 7-Up and tequila, and they slam it on the thing. It starts foaming, and they shoot it down your mouth. Now, there's no saying no to the popper at Margarita's Village. It doesn't matter if you're allergic to booze. It doesn't matter if you have 10 years sobriety. I get up and say, I got to go to the bathroom. I go talk to one of the waiters, and I go, see that chick over there? Yeah, Teresa? Yeah, give her double. And next thing you know, you feel somebody's forearm on your forehead as they come up behind you, and this guy starts screaming, and the next thing you know, they shoot it down your mouth, and then they put your forearm on your mouth, and they shake your head violently.
What?
Violently. Like, if this was in the United States, there'd be an immediate lawsuit, but it's in TJ, so everything goes. They blow the whistle and shake your head like an Etch-a-Sketch. After about 15 of those, you're not feeling great. So I stumbled into the bathroom. And actually, before I got to the bathroom, I heaved in the ice maker. Now, the kind of old school ice maker, the one with the slanted slide door on it, filled to the brim with ice. Just blew chunks right into that baby. Then stumbled out. And here's the thing about Tijuana. Tijuana is the worst place to be drunk and on foot in because Tijuana has super low doorways. There's no building and safety in Tijuana. The doorways, hey, if you're over 6 foot, you're going to whack your head on half the doorways in Tijuana. The stairs are off camber. There's no street lights. They like to lay, here's how they lay their city out. They do the curb. They take the cement curb part and they do that, and it's real high off the street, but no sidewalk on the other side of it. So when you step up onto it, you just step into a hole on the other side of it. And when you're loaded and you're staggering around and the street light's not working and you step over the 18-inch curb into the 3-foot pit on there, it's nothing. It is a disaster over there. I then stumbled out into the back of this place called Margarita's Village, which was down below street level, and just decided I needed to crash out amongst the garbage bags for a while just to just to gather myself, just to compose myself before I headed back in because the world was spinning. And I flopped down there and I looked up the stairs, a long staircase that led up to the street, and I saw a cop standing up there. And I remember doing that thing where I had to close one eye so I could get good focus on the guy. Two eyes is great when everything's fine, but it's your worst enemy when you're loaded. For some reason, you do much better with one eye. So if you're loaded, 20/20 with just a one eye. So I remember thinking, I literally have to keep an eye on this cop. And the next thing I remember, I felt a stick hitting me, and I looked up, and he was standing right above me. So I must have passed out at some point. But to his credit, he just poked me with his nightstick a few times. I then woke up and headed back in. And
you were in a heap of trash bags at the time?
Yeah, it's not like they have folding chairs out there. They don't have an Adirondack chair out there. Nothing you'd find.
No ottoman?
No, nothing you'd find at Bed Bath & Beyond. Just they have trash. That's what they all sit on. They pull up some trash. Let's talk.
Well, you were trashed.
So there I was in Tijuana, sleeping on the beach, that kind of stuff. Stuff that could have been potentially very life-threatening, but turns out none the worse for wear. Let's talk to some of our callers. Fred over here says you woke up in a Winnie the Pooh outfit, Fred.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Great show, by the way, too.
Thank you, Fred.
No, a buddy of mine had a bachelor party, and I attended, and I was the one that got extremely plowed, passed out. They dressed me up in a Winnie the Pooh house dress, put a Johnsonville sausage in my mouth, took my picture, and put it on the internet.
That's perfect. I know. I've often said is the difference between men and women. If you need to know that when you get heated and one of the guys passes out, it's, oh, my God, he's passed out. Is he breathing? Yes. Great. Get some duct tape and a Sharpie. And
Winnie the Pooh suit.
Cigarette butts and kielbasa. Let's go to town. This is going to be awesome. And when a chick passes out, it's like, oh, my God, Tammy. Oh, she's going to be sick. We should drive her to the hospital.
Hold her hair.
Yeah, hold her hair.
She's going to be sick. Don't let anybody near her. Oh, guys, it is awesome.
You know the hog, Ace. You know, my chum, the hog. I have several volumes worth of photographs, of damning photographs of him mummified, markered up, stacked up to everything in the room on top of him.
It should be a deterrent to drinking around your male friends. You're going to end up duct taping a Winnie the Pooh suit.
Ooh, the guy, by the way, who passed out. Can't say crayon in the butt? All right.
Sorry.
If you could imagine my buddy Ray and my other buddy Chris, they don't need to know you in order to
that's true, yeah.
Break a little water on you or duct tape.
I'll keep it clean. It is a clean story, but it does involve pee. But not on... I'll make it quick. Oh, gosh, please don't let me say anything horrible. This one's more of just psychically damaging. Mm-hmm. I think I was 20 at the time. I had a boyfriend who was 28, and I was meeting his family for the first time. I was very nervous because they lived in a sleepy town. They were waspy, and I don't know how they felt about the effing Jews, but I got the feeling they weren't so happy to see me. And so it was Thanksgiving dinner. Again, I was very nervous. And the waspy people drink the Dewars.
What is with the Jews?
And I never had Dewars. Because my family, no one really drank. And
yeah,
so,
you drank the Jewers.
Right. So I was like, I'm better off, much like now, if I just don't speak. And so I had a few Dewars. Thank you. And because I was nervous that I was going to say or do something wrong, and they were kind of, you know, judgy because I was so much younger. And so I just was drinking, and the house was just like impeccably neat, like the thing where the toilet paper has a cozy, you know, it's that kind of house. Like it's perfect. It's pristine. And again, very nervous. And then I'm nervous to use the restroom at night because I don't really know where it is, and I don't want to dirty it up. And I'm very uncomfortable. So they did let us sleep in the same bed. So I go to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I wake up, and mind you, I'm living, it's a Norman Rockwell house, but even more pristine, and I wake up, I had a dream that I had to go to the bathroom really, really badly, and in the dream, I was running, and I was just looking for a bathroom, and I couldn't find one, then I found one in the dream, and I was really relieved, because I could finally go, and then I woke up, and it was warm and wet, and I realized that I had just had an accident on the guy in the house in the middle of the night. And now, what do I do?
Sure.
Because what? I'm in a strange place. It's dark. The people already don't like me. And yeah. Now I've wet the bed.
How do you think he felt?
You don't know where the linen closet is or
yes,
anything.
I'm looking for the linen closet so I can change. And I try to get the sheet off, which is saturated, without waking up the guy.
I had a drunken whiz with a girlfriend once.
And did you?
Yeah, that wasn't bad. It was the aftermath. It was the week later when at noon on a Tuesday I was sipping an iced tea and the girlfriend was saying, "Are you sure? Are you sure? That is your second one." Like, all right, sweetie, I had a weird dream and I was loaded.
Did
all
you
right?
have the same dream?
I had the whiz dream.
Right.
What kind of wiring is that? What kind of cruel wiring is that? Which is, well, the way God made your brain, which is, you don't want to wake up. You're just too tired. So, but you have to whiz, so we're at a little standoff here. We'll just create a scenario where it's okay to whiz. You'll just... Oh, really? Oh, Jesus. F. What the hell's going on with the beeping? All right. All right, where
the
FCC are we?
Says pee and people don't mix.
That's right.
That's the problem.
Eric?
It didn't for me.
Yes. Well, they put the pee in people. Eric?
Yes?
You beat up a friend during a threesome when you were drunk?
That's
man,
already
love
funny.
Your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was my celebration about 10 years ago. We were in Vegas, and it was me and my best friend, my old lady. And so I got drunk and decided it'd be a good idea. We had a threesome. We were in the hot tub in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to get a drink, and when I came back, my best friend and my old lady were getting warmed up in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked in and saw it, I decided, well, maybe a threesome's not such a good idea. So I threw a full-on A-kicking down on my friend and knocked him completely unconscious.
Really?
Then I remembered I had a knife in my pocket, so I pulled that out. By this time, the old lady had called the head of security, and then they showed up. And so I went at the guy with the security guys with the knife, and then that's when the
sure.
mate came into the picture. And then the local cops came into the picture, and they maced me some more. And then they all hauled me down to the paddy wagon and threw me in the paddy wagon. And so I managed to get my handcuffs around in front of me. And I'm piecing all this together later from witness testimony,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, cop testimony.
Right.
And so I got my cuffs around in front of me, and I'm snotting and, you know, all over the place because of all the mace. So when they opened the back of the paddy wagon to take me out, I jumped out, punched the first cop I saw in the face with both hands, and then proceeded to start spitting on all the cops. Well, apparently, cops
they don't
have
like
a special...
That.
Yeah, they really don't. I mean, really, really don't. Well, they have a special bag that they use when you're spitting on them that you can breathe through, but you can't spit through it, and they just put it all over your whole head.
Nice.
So apparently they put this thing over my head. I had used the knife on myself, apparently, in my rage the night before. And so the next morning I wake up and I'm in a padded cell with a bag on my head. My shoulders had both been dislocated because the cops, like you said, they really don't
mm-hmm.
like you shit
mm-hmm.
on them and hit them. And so I woke up with a bag on my head, my shoulders dislocated, and I'm sitting there wondering where I am because I can't see anything.
Yeah, Eric.
And I feel a padded cell wall
Eric,
behind me.
Could I jump in for 1 second?
Yeah, you bet.
You, first off, candidate for definitely not a Jew next week, number one. But number two, you're one of these guys who drinks and blacks out, right?
Yeah, that was the last time I got drunk. That was like 8 years ago, and I don't drink anymore because that was when it became obvious to me that I really...
Yeah, when you have to rely on eyewitness testimony as to
scarring.
What you did the night before, that's what happens when you black out. You freak out, you can become violent, you get delusional,
yeah.
and you have no idea what you did before. That, again, is Mel's only excuse if in fact, he's one of these guys who drinks and then blacks out. Because, Eric, you sound like a delight. Outside of jacuzzis in Vegas. I mean, you seem like a sound-thinking young man, but you and the booze, you will black out, and then you will freak out, right?
Oh, yeah, the Scotch-Irish blood combined with the red hair and the bad temper, and I can control it when I'm not drinking,
mm-hmm.
but you let me get two or three, especially when you're doing, like, a shot beer back orders free in the casino all night long. You know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't take but about 15 of those, and you're... You know,
well,
gone.
So you woke up in a padded cell with the bag over your head. How long did it take you to acclimate yourself to figure out where you were?
Well, I was awake long enough to start having, like, you know, even when you black out, you get these, like, still frame recollections of the night before.
Right.
I started having a few of those and just immediately decided that unconsciousness was preferable to this state.
Yeah. It's a world's worst Viewmaster. Exactly, what it is. It's not the Grand Canyon or Epcot Center. It's trouble.
I decided to shake my head up like an Etch-a-Sketch by bouncing it off the wall in an attempt to reorient the memories, and I lost consciousness again, and I wound up in the mental institution for the weekend for observation. Mm-hmm. And apparently that whole, like, what you do in Vegas stays in Vegas, they really mean that, because I basically walked on all of that and didn't really have anything happen to me. As soon as they found out I was from California, they were like, oh, you're going to go back to California and you won't be back here ever again? And I was like, yep. And they were like, cool. And they gave me a ride to the bus station. I never heard from them again.
You're saying, they say only celebrities get the preferential treatment.
Exactly.
Thank you for your candor.
Well, that guy, you think he might be the winner there. Maybe we could give him a bottle of wine or something.
Yeah. Eric, please don't have any kids.
Let me try to one-up this. One time I got really drunk, and I went, and we were at karaoke, and I sang Spandau Ballet's True.
Oh, wow.
So
I don't know. I'd say that's a tie.
All right.
In sort of in the madman department.
Crazy.
They don't do these kind of bass riffs anymore.
Here's Ace Man with a little booze in him.
Little.
Now let's just reel it in a notch here if we could.
Little green-eyed lady from the Ace Man.
Green-eyed lady.
Wonderful.
Were you loaded during that?
Well, look, if I have a microphone in my hand, I'm loaded. That's the way it works. Now, I'm not drunk now because it's in front of me, but if I'm standing and holding a microphone, I'm always loaded, whether it's at a charity or doing, you know, I am seeing something or singing karaoke. Salak?
Yeah, what's up, you guys?
Yeah, this is Steven, a.k.a. Salak. He's a friend of Bruska's.
Can we talk to Salak after break? We got to go to break.
We can, but you can't talk to him in between and tell him to water down his story. Salak, you got a story about our own Bruska?
Do I?
Good drunken Jimmy Bruska story?
We got to stretch the show to 8 hours. There's so many of them.
I know. The hardest part's going to be to choose which one.
Yes.
He's been in about 100 fights, all alcohol related.
Sure. All right. Well, pick your most humiliating Jimmy Bruska story, and then regurgitate it to us after the break. All right, Steve?
You got it.
All right, we'll take a break. That's Steven, a.k.a. Salak. He was the electrician on the Adam Carolla project. Some of you will remember that. Also, Bruska's good buddy, and he will embarrass Bruska after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Mel Gibson got into trouble lately when he went boozing in Malibu. He did some drinking and driving, got pulled over and showed an attitude. He called an officer sugar, so they cuffed him and slammed the door. He sounded just like Louis Farrakhan. He said the Jews started all the wars. 'Cause he hates Jews, baby. He hates Jews, baby. Mel hates Jews.
Yeah.
He hates Jews.
That one took a while to get to, but it was worth the wait. All right, so who's on the phone? Thanks, Bruce. All right, so you want to talk to Harvey Levin first, and then we'll hear the horribly embarrassing story about you being drunk. All right, hold on a second. Salak?
Yeah.
Steven?
Yeah.
I want you to sit on the horribly humiliating producer Brusket story for just one more moment, all right?
Go ahead.
All right, we have to talk to Harvey Levin, who's on there. Or I should say we get to talk to
Let's
Harvey
see if he has
Levin
a good story
on the
about
other,
being
other line. But when we come back, we're going to be in a hurry, so you're going to have to limit it to 19 minutes. All right, Salak?
You got it.
All right, buddy. Now, let's talk to Harvey Levin, managing editor of TMZ.com. Harvey?
Hey, Adam.
Thank you for being on the program.
My pleasure.
You have a law degree from the University of Chicago. And it says here, when the executive producers of the Care Bear movie 2, The New Generation.
True. That is so not true.
Really?
I
don't know where that came from.
Well, I don't know how you make that stuff up. It's
I know,
right
but
here.
It's not true.
All right, no involvement with the Care Bear movies.
None. Zero.
All right, well, I'm going to have to threaten to fire somebody but do nothing about it.
Then maybe there's another Harvey Levin.
Producer of Celebrity Justice, though, right?
Yes.
And you've been out here in L.A. for quite some time, true?
Yeah, about a couple centuries.
Yeah, and the whole TMZ thing has just exploded over the last few days and weeks. How many hits are you getting to that website this week as opposed to this time last week?
Well, you know, we're getting a lot. I mean, obviously more and more people, but it's become a really popular website. It's been great.
TMZ was 30 Mile Zone. Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of liked it. 30 Mile Zone, it used to be a way they described Hollywood in the 20s, and it had to do with these union contracts and whether you had to overnight extras, pay for hotels. Mm-hmm. And if you shot it within the 30-mile radius of Hollywood, the epicenter being where the Beverly Center is right now, you didn't have to pay it. And I just thought it sounded kind of cool, TMZ, and it really was a way of kind of defining Hollywood.
And do you have any breaking news or updates for us on the Gibson case or any other story?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in the Gibson case, this case is going to plea bargain stat. It's going to happen really fast because this videotape that was made is worse than you even think.
Have you seen it?
I know, but I know things, and it is worse than you know. And he wants to keep this video from ever becoming public, and one of the ways of doing it is if you plea bargain the case, it doesn't become part of the court case. It's not evidence, and they're going to try to keep it from the public because it's awful.
So can I ask you this, Harvey? A lot of people think they rolled the video camera because it was Mel Gibson, but I assume they roll the video camera whenever they pull somebody over.
No. What happened was the deputy in the field actually had an audio tape, and he routinely uses it. They often protect themselves this way. Mm-hmm. So he rolled this audio tape, and Gibson got so belligerent in the car that the deputy became concerned, and he wanted a record of it. So he called ahead and said, look, I want somebody videotaping this when we pull up.
I see.
That's the audio of the arrest.
So, I didn't know he had an acoustic guitar with him.
He was singing in the back seat of the cop car.
So he rolled on it. So there is audio tape of the first part of the arrest and videotape of the second part.
Right. Once they got to the station, it was videotaped.
Mm-hmm.
How can these be misdemeanor charges only if he ran away from the cops and everything? Isn't it avoiding arrest?
Well, I called the DA on that yesterday, and I said, look, what about the evading arrest thing? And what they told me was, they said, look, and I'll just give you the statement and take it for what you will, but they said, you know, it was only like 4 seconds. He bolted for his car, but the officer subdued him quickly, and they just didn't feel it was appropriate.
Sure. They would extend the same courtesy to a young black man,
sure.
I'm sure, who bolted for his car.
I've got to know what kind of stuff is on that audio tape. Can you give us any hint of what kind of stuff he doesn't want us to hear?
We've already published a lot of it about, you know, some of the comments and conduct, but there are some things I can't, but they're awful. I mean, they're incendiary, just like some of the other comments that have kind of made their way out.
So you're saying that if the stuff that got out on this audio and or videotape ever hit the public ears, it would be quite a bit worse than what we already know?
Well, look, the anti-Semitic comments are already out.
Right.
And I don't know that they were captured on tape, on audio, because it would happen in the deputy's patrol car. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether that's on tape or not. But at the station, you kind of see and hear, and he was awful.
I'm dead. Okay, can I ask this? Harvey Levin on the phone, managing editor of TMZ.com, filling us in on the Mel Gibson thing. A lot of people are accusing the Malibu sheriff of a cover-up, or at least an attempted cover-up. If this was just a civilian being pulled over and being thrown in the car, wouldn't they just say he was belligerent or he was drunk and babbling or whatever? Would they give you the exact breakdown of what he said, and would it be here nor there in the eyes of the law?
That's an interesting question. They have put you have to check the behavior of the suspect on the front of the police report,
mm-hmm.
the sheriff's report.
information. In this case, the deputy wrote belligerent. You have to justify why you're saying it's belligerent. If you just say he's belligerent and you don't give examples of why he's belligerent, they tear him apart in the stand.
Right. Oh, I see. I see. So you have to get details.
You have to give details.
I want them to check the fetching box when they pull the ace man over.
Harvey, I hate to keep pressing you.
If in fact, that's an option.
Ruggedly handsome.
When you say awful things he was saying, more awful than anything that's been out, can you give a general area?
Well, I didn't say necessarily more awful than anything. I mean, the anti-Semitic remarks are pretty awful.
They are.
But no, I can't. I mean, I know where you're going. I just can't.
All right. And who do you, who's your mole on the inside, Harvey? I know you're not going to name it.
I'm going to tell you that.
Well, how are you so connected? I always wonder how this works. You obviously have somebody on the inside.
Well,
I
have multiple sources on this story.
Okay. So this is definitely, in your mind, a confirmation. And can I ask you this in terms of how the law works? So if he enters a plea and pleas out to this, then the tape will never become public record.
Well, here's the deal. By engaging in the shenanigans that the sheriff's department did, the sheriff may have screwed Mel Gibson, because ordinarily, you're right, it wouldn't become public. He could block it. But we've already made a request that we want to hear we want to see the videotape. Not so much because of Mel Gibson, but because we want to evaluate whether what the sheriff did is right or wrong, and that has nothing to do with the plea bargain. So, in a sense, the sheriff has made this tape more likely to get out than it would have been had they just been on the up and up from the beginning.
See,
by the way, they weren't on the up and up because they lied to us and they said it was without incident.
Trying to protect. I don't mind them, by the way, protecting celebrities because, as I've said many times, he's in the $500 million tax club. And for that, you should get a couple of garbage men and a pass or two on a DUI.
Well, he got two. No, he didn't get two. I take it back. He got two passes on speeding.
Yeah, I even heard that another part of the story, which I wasn't aware of, is that a cop was going to try to escort him home or to his car or something like that.
To the tow yard.
Oh, they gave him a ride to the tow yard to pick up the Mercedes after he was checked out, right?
The Lexus.
Oh, the Lexus. That's right. All right. Would have been nicer if he was in a Mercedes, a German car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. German engineering.
Yeah, the thing's basically a Panzer tank with some modifications. It's a dual climate control Panzer tank. That's all. Harvey, thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. See ya.
Harvey Levin is the man behind TMZ.com. Now, where were we? Geez, are we running late?
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't think we could do this story.
You're right. We don't have time. Salak?
Keep it down, bro.
Yep.
How say you, my brother?
Be proud of your past.
Hey, I'm pretty good. Funny you guys should be talking about the sheriff.
Oh. What happened?
One, by the way. You should only talk about ones you were present at. Don't do a secondhand
story.
Wow,
that means there was worse.
Well, listen, if I give you the ones that I was present at, they could still probably come after you because you ran away every time and they never caught you.
What did he do? What did he do with the sheriff, Steve?
Well, long story short, first of all, you get a laugh out of the car he drove up in. He used to have a Geo convertible.
Oh, my God, that is the gayest car. It's three cylinders and no roof.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
What color was it? Please tell me it was turquoise.
No, it was white.
I think it was white.
It was the only one car I could afford when
gay.
I first came out of here. Plenty
listen,
gay with
plenty
the
plenty gay.
Listen, the real funny part is, you know, he's working over at Fox, and they have a big bash. They're having a one night, all the guys and the people are going out to Barney's Beanery.
Oh, jeez.
So they've got a big table, and Bruska pulls up in his.
By the way, this is about 15 years ago.
About 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
He's such a liar.
No. About 15 years ago. So he pulls up in his Geo and he valets it. So he gives the valet the key and he goes inside.
Take care of this puppy.
Yeah.
And he's drinking for a while. And all the guys, you know, they're all having a ball. And he decides he's got to get something from his car. So he goes outside and asks the valet for his key. And the valet goes to the box, gets his key, and his key's broken off. And they go to the car, and it's broken off into the ignition. So, obviously, the key's made as well as the car is.
Yeah. Should have just named the car the Geo Glory Hole. I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Right. So Brusk is completely drunk by this point, and
I wasn't drunk.
He's loaded, and then does what?
He's completely loaded. He's furious. So he says, "Where's the manager? I want to speak to the manager." And they say, "He's in the back by the kitchen."
No. Let me correct what happened.
Listen. Don't ruin the story with your accurate details.
It's such nonsense.
Yeah.
The manager came out. And I said, you know, what are you guys going to do about this car? I mean, you guys broke the key into the car. They denied that they broke the key in the car, which they obviously did. I didn't get there with a broken key in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then the manager got really nasty.
Actually, was it the alcohol you were drinking?
No, it wasn't.
You feel that way.
It wasn't. You weren't even there, so mm-hmm. how could you even say? Anyway, mm-hmm. the manager wound up taking the keychain that didn't have the rest of the key that was in it and threw it at me and hit me in the chest.
Uh-huh.
So then it's on.
It's on.
It's on.
Yeah, now you have to defend yourself.
So it was a little scrap there. Then they broke it up. My buddies broke it up. I'm gonna make this quick because we got to go to break.
Let Salak tell the story.
There's a little scrap there. They broke it up.
Crap.
Hold on, let me finish. The guy went back into Barney's Beanery and I followed him. I followed him into the kitchen.
You went into the kitchen.
I went into the kitchen.
Really?
Listen, let me finish. And all the guys went back to the table, and Brusker would not, you know, let it be. And
it was the end of the night. Done. You have no idea what you're talking about. It was the end of the night, and there was no one else there. So
how did you end up in the kitchen being hit on the head with pots and pans by the cook?
That's exactly what happened. Actually, and the guy and I started wrestling around, and the cooks, next thing you know, pots and pans are banging around. the cooks in there are just trying to either break it up or punch me, I don't know.
No, they weren't breaking it up. They were hitting with pots and pans, and you know, the sheriff's department is right across the street.
Right.
So they all came over, and next thing you know, Brusket is hog-tied with zip plastic ties, and being carried out, and all his friends are watching him get carried out, hog-tied.
Let me just clear something up.
Did
the ankles and the wrists behind you?
I think they carried out, but that guy started it. I tried to finish it. I should not have went into the kitchen to follow him. That was my only mistake.
You were beaten down by a guy wearing clogs.
And
his chef.
What do you mean? They were beating him with pots and pans.
Wow, I like the zip tie, hog tie story.
I got the better of that. Son of a bee, anyway.
And they carried you out.
We gotta go to break.
All right.
We got a penthouse pit in the green room.
The good news is, I think we found the brand new segment. Brusca's fight stories.
That's great.
Oh, we got 100 of them. You guys will be on the air for 10 years.
All right, Steven. Reload, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, later. Bye.
Take care of yourself. Sorry about what Mel said about your people. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We have Charlie Lane, penthouse pet. Next, after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Right now on The Adam Carolla Show, penthouse pet and porn star extraordinaire, Charlie Lane. You want to play a game with Charlie? Call 866-901-ADAM. Adam will explain it. Here he is on The Adam Carolla Show.
I've never been prouder of a bit, a piece on this show, not since Name That Poon. Have I been so proud of a piece. This is Vibrator or Motorcycle. This is either the name of a motorcycle or the name of a vibrator. These are actual
and
motorcycles.
Charlie Rose let you have this bit?
Oh, vibrators. Yes. Speaking of Charlie Lane, good to meet you.
But
we need calls.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Like all good games, we need you to participate
and
with
prizes
us.
Prizes will be doled out.
What's the number?
That's right. 866-901-ADAM if you want to play vibrator or motorcycle. Charlie,
We got some Hooters gift certificates.
Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah, that's all.
Hooters gift certificates.
Well, we also have some Playboy DVDs, but I don't think it's appropriate since she's a penthouse pet. So
that's like the P-boy word.
Yeah.
You don't speak about the P-boy word.
Yeah, you don't talk about Pepsi when you have someone in here from Coke.
Exactly.
What a sweet voice Charlie has.
Thank you.
You're going to be at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally.
Yes, I am.
Next Thursday. That's mm-hmm. a week from today?
Yeah, actually, I'll be there at the 9th, 10th, and 11th signing. I'll be out of town the 8th through the 12th, though, so.
I've not been to Sturgis. This is the biggest motorcycle rally, I would say, in the world. Mm-hmm. Not just North America here.
It's huge. I heard over 250,000 people show up.
Yes, and it's been going on for quite some time, but it's taken on a more commercial vibe over the last few years. A little more legitimate, right?
Right, right.
So what are you going to be doing there?
Well, I just found out the 9th. I am so totally excited about this. I'm going to a Tom Petty concert where I have backstage passes. He's like my ultimate, so I'm super stoked about that. And then also on the 10th, we have a party from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., which is a bike show and lingerie fashion show with all the Penthouse Pets. It's me, Melissa Jacobs, and Krista Ayne.
I swear to you, last year or a couple years back, Elton John played Sturgis.
Really?
That's true.
That's kind of unlikely.
Am I making that up? Because I remember talking about it. It blew my mind.
Almost as ridiculous as Mel Gibson making a Holocaust movie.
I was just picturing him in those huge Hobo Kelly glasses wearing his sequins Dodger uniform and just being gang raped repeatedly by Hell's Angels. I couldn't imagine anybody at Sturgis going, well, listen, we got to cut the wet t-shirt contest short and the slide for life behind the hog. Elton John's hitting the stage in 10 minutes.
Yeah, we got to stay on the clock because right after that, Richard Simmons is going to lead a class of dance sweating to the oldies.
That's right. So you'll be signing and flashing boobies over there.
I will love to flash my boobies.
This is some woman, too. She's petite. She's
boobies!
Like, she's got the brown and blondish kind of hair. Mm-hmm. Ample bosoms for such a small woman.
Yeah, I know. They actually grew after I started birth control. So thank God, no babies and boobs.
They're real.
You want to talk about win-win.
Win-win, yeah. Definitely.
No kids and bigger boobs.
Yeah.
Hey, you look like you have a little Asian in you. You look a little Eurasian.
No, I don't, actually. I've actually heard that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm Italian and German.
Mm-hmm. Would you like a little more Italian in you?
Sure. Yeah.
And I do mean a little. All right, we're going to play this game.
Let's get it on.
You want to take a break and then do it? Are we that far behind, Brusket, or you want to try to...
Let's
take a break, because I think we are way behind. Charlie Lane here, beautiful. And I will say this, too, and I think Dave will back me up on this one. I enjoy the pornography, but I don't like the porno chicks that you can spot from the other side
the
of the river.
Ones.
Yes, like you see them with the tats and the piercings and the whole. They look real sharp edge. They look like Japanese anime. I like the girl next door.
Oh, thank you.
Sweeter.
That's exactly what she is.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm from small town Wisconsin girls, so.
Nice.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. Charlie Lane here from Penthouse, and we'll play a little vibrator or motorcycle after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Let's play vibrator or motorcycle. We give you the name, and you tell us whether it's a vibrator or a motorcycle. And now your host, Adam Carolla.
Thank you. Charlie Lane in studio. She is a Penthouse Pet. She's going to be at the big biker rally next week, known as Sturgis. Tom Petty playing.
Mm-hmm.
You can look forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps you can get backstage and shake his tambourine.
I would love to shake his tambourine.
Brusca handed me a note. Damn if Shankella authorizes if the caller gets it right, she has to take off clothes. But he really did hand me that note, but you're too sweet.
No, I'm
asking you for
no,
that.
No, I would just be like, oh my God, I would know what to say.
Because you're nervous in front of...
Yeah. No, it's not that I'm nervous in front of, like, famous people. So it's just
I think you guys are
Tom
talking about
Petty.
Two different things right now.
Oh, yeah. No,
you're still talking about Tom Petty.
Oh.
Damashek has moved on. He wants you to take off your clothes.
He's talking about tomfoolery. You're talking about Tom Petty. What happened to tomfoolery? Yeah, he would like you to get naked while you talk about Tom Petty.
All right, so what do you
do? You don't have to do it yet.
I said I feel guilty about it, but Brusca over here is desperate to see your boobs.
I gotta tell you, Charlie, Dave is smitten, and he is like Morse the cat when it comes to the ladies. Very finicky. Turns his nose up at almost every broad that walks through this place.
Aww.
But you, he is smitten with.
I should warn.
I'm just smitten right there.
I should warn you, Charlie, that I am known as the love cheetah.
Ooh, right.
I'm the fastest animal on the planet. Charlie, you can try to run, but you can't get away.
You understand that smitten doesn't mean repulsed.
No, yeah, I do.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're clear.
No, sorry. I know what smitten means.
Okay. So, Dave was saying in the kitchen, he's like, well, small town from Wisconsin, beautiful girl next door. How does she get into this world?
Yeah.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah. I had done, like it says on the card, I had done swimwear modeling for a while. And then I had my profile up on a onemodelplace.com, which is a website where, like, amateur models can go and get scouted or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you don't really have to play the sad music.
And keeps the wood away.
And
thank you.
Now the wood coming. Welcome wood.
I got an email from an agent saying I can guarantee you magazine work, Hustler, Cherry, Penthouse, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had always wanted to be in magazines. I had just not had the self-confidence to do it naked.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I stared at that email for about 3 weeks. And I was like, you know what? I'm 5'3". I don't want to do mainstream. It's like cattle. Like, you know, you go in. The producers have their pick of whatever girl they want.
Yeah.
And you really don't get anywhere.
You've got to be at least 5'7",
5'9". Yeah, exactly. So I was like, you know, let's give it a shot. I came out here, shot with photographers like Suze Randall, Earl Miller, Stephen Hicks.
Worked with all of them.
And mm-hmm. they told me I was beautiful. I heard all this wonderful stuff about myself that I had never heard before. And I was like, why
Especially
not?
From Daddy.
And yeah.
Yes.
Screw him. Let that cheesehead rot in Wisconsin.
Guys should listen. You never go wrong with flattery.
No, never, never, never. And I had never been asked for my phone number. I'd always been the girl that chased the guy.
Really?
So I came out here and I was like, what? I'm pretty?
Can I have your phone number?
Sure.
Wait a minute. You mean,
I was an ugly duckling. I had short blonde hair, fuzzy eyebrows, braces, mm-hmm. kind of was like wore baggy t-shirts, JNCOs. Like I wasn't really into myself yet. I like hadn't grown into becoming pretty, I guess, so to speak.
Why is it that every smoking hot chick was formerly a disaster in high school?
I don't know.
How does that work? I never believe it. Look at you.
Well, thank you, but I was.
All right, so now, dude, just...
By the way, I just say, Ace, the reason that I'm so taken with her is because she looks so very much like my beautiful wife.
Calling all homos.
That's the right scheme, isn't it? That is a good angle.
Charlie is
telling me that she posed for Barely Legal when she was, in fact, barely legal, mm-hmm. just at 18 years old.
Just at 18. Mm. Actually, that's when most of my magazine work was done, when I was like 18, 19, and pretty much not until... Recently, have I started doing more magazine work?
Those were my salad days, too. Not magazine work, per se. Yeah. The magazine was in the bathroom. I was not actually in the pages of it. I was more on the magazine than in it. But I like to say my magazine work was done around 18, 19 as well. Yes. Okay, we will forge ahead here and play a little vibrator or motorcycle. Again, this is inspired... Inspired by Charlie's appearance at Sturgis next week. I'll throw out the name. You tell me, is it a vibrator or motorcycle? We will start with Scott.
Listener gets it right, he wins a prize, mm-hmm. and you'll have to take something off.
She's got to show up boobs, Corolla.
That's the rules. That's the rules of the game.
You guys are going to
purposely... I didn't make up the game. Those are just the rules
of the game. Charlie's actually pretty comfortable with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with being naked. I much rather be naked than... clothes, I guess. There you go.
It's the only time I feel free.
Exactly.
Scott?
Yeah.
That when I'm dancing. Scott?
Yeah, how are you?
How are you?
Excellent.
Good. You ready to start?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here is your first item. Kingpin. Kingpin.
That's a vibrator.
What?
You got a buzz, like a no good buzz?
Uh-oh.
How about let's do the basics?
Oh, there it is.
All right, but when we're doing this on the show, let's make sure we have these kinks ironed out.
This rehearsal is doing us a lot of good, I think. But when we do it on the show, we should probably have it.
I'm trying to do my best here under really difficult circumstances.
All right, so, again, Kingpin, sorry, not a vibrator. There we go.
Barely comprehensible.
We will no gift certificate to give away. Paul?
Adam, how are you?
Good. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Now, what does this mean for Charlie?
Take something off. No, if he gets something right, I have to take it off.
If you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Paul.
Right.
Also, if he messes up the sound effect, you gotta take something.
Okay.
I gotta see those bazooms. You see what I did, Corolla? I tricked you.
You know, you could just ask me and I'd get naked. It's
yes.
All okay.
We will.
No, you're taking the fun out of it, Charlie.
I know,
make him work
for
it.
Paul, you were saying?
I was wondering if Charlie needed a fluffer because I'm out of work right now. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no.
I'm not sure if they exist with the,
they really
with the
don't.
Females.
They don't exist at all, really. I guess now it's gone to Viagra. But
oh, really?
Yeah,
no,
I've
no
never,
fluff.
I don't do guys on camera, but I've never seen a guy have a fluffer before. Like he's.
I was just trying to help you out.
All right, no, listen. Yeah.
Just trying to throw you a bone.
That's all.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a bitter pill to swallow. Like if you found out your little girl got into hardcore pornography, you'd be a little disappointed. But if you found out she was on the fluffing end of the business, I feel that way every time I go to strip club and I see the poor chick come out and wipe down the glass and the pole in between dancers. Like worse than walking and seeing your daughter on stage just watching her with a Windex bottle mopping up.
Well, Charlie's dad can be proud because she's won an award for the best solo scene.
I didn't win, but I was nominated. I was nominated.
All right. Well, that's still bragging rights for Pops. Let's keep moving. Anyway, you ready, Paul? Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't Paul? What did I do? Hang up on the guy? What the hell happened
Paul
to the guy?
Off. I don't know.
Oh, he just dropped off. All right. April?
Yeah?
You ready to play?
Yeah.
Night Rod.
Vibrator.
It's a motorcycle, so you're wrong, but I'd also like to punish you for taking 20 minutes between a coin toss type answer like that. What'd you do? Run something? Would you do
These
Google
people wanted
it?
Me to keep my clothes on.
No
for some
kidding.
Reason.
God hates me. We're going to change the rules.
That's a terrible Brusky impression, Brusky.
David?
Yes.
You ready to rock?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thundercat.
Vibrator.
Yes!
So is my top coming off? Let me take off. Should I get some stripping music or something?
Hey, would you... I can tell you, but I'd have to kill you. Drop it, trial. Charlie Lane comes to stage. Studio Sturgis. What to start next week's wet t-shirt contest. Hey, it's Dollar Shots of Cuervo when you see the fireman siren going off. There it goes. Buck up the bar, Sir Buck. Get your shot of Cuervo over there. Hey, don't stiff Danny behind the bar. He's working hard for you guys. We got to score an 8-ball after we close up. Oh, we're going to come on pretty strong to some of the fat stragglers left behind. But eventually, we're going to hop in the Malibu, go back to the one-bedroom apartment, do a bump of blow, and probably go down on. I'm fat. I got a beard. It's a double chin and a leather fanny pack. But don't worry. I'm going bald. But I got a ponytail, ladies. Don't mind the stonewashed jeans. They'll be back. Where was I?
You're on one.
The guy starts off as just a regular announcer, but gets a little cathartic at some point. Some could argue sad.
She's down to a black lacy bra. Mm-hmm.
Would you guys please tell my wife that I sit in a place where I'm furthest away from the boobies,
not counting
Bruscus.
No.
I have the screen. I have the monitor in front of me, and it's really hard for me to get a good booby and ass shot in here. I try to explain that to my wife on an almost daily basis.
There is a Dell laptop or little thing sitting right in between
That's
us.
Why
you
I have to stand.
Booby!
Thereby revealing his gigantic erect phallus.
Thank you. Joe?
Hey.
You ready to play?
Yes, I will unleash the boobies.
Thank you.
Go for it, Joe.
Confident.
Let's see.
Don't tease me.
Let's go. You ready? Venom Warrior. Venom Warrior.
I'd have to say that's a vibrator.
Why would would you name a vibrator Venom Warrior?
I would not want to use that. Would you, Charlie?
Like, no, Venom. Like, that's sweet juice. That ain't no
good call.
Yeah, comes with a pith helmet.
All right, one more because the twins are trying to call in. And
the twins are trying to come out.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, twins. This is awkward.
My twins on the blower.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk.
Oh, nothing.
To...
If he gets it right, everything comes out.
Talk to Eric.
That's a lot of pressure right there, Ace Man.
Yeah. All right, remember, vibrator or motorcycle?
All right.
Harley Davidson Softail.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and stay at the motorcycle.
Yes! You're a cheater.
Yes.
Oh, my heart is filled with glee.
Thank you.
Feels good to unleash the bad boys once in a while.
It's good to us, too. All right, we will take ourselves a break. My twins are going to be phoning in. Charlie Lane, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Head on out to Sturgis. Bring the family.
Sweet girl.
Next Thursday. Also, penthouse.com or clubcharlie.com. We, again, admire your candor, Charlie.
Oh, thank
you. We'll be back with my young twins after this.
It was a beautiful day.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show, comedian Harland Williams.
Here's what I did recently, pretty stupid. I was a little vain. I went up and got some cosmetic surgery. I had my chin removed and my ears enlarged.
The king of cosmetic surgery, Dr. 90210, Robert Ray, and the deaf frat guy.
You may have to get your stomach pumped.
Call 866-901-ADAM.
That's the poop.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
He's a delight, Robert Ray. He's one of these guys who's into, like, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And the thing about other sports is guys that play hoops don't act like they're dribbling when they're walking at work down the hall, but the guys that are into like the martial arts will constantly be doing it on you when you're talking to them. You're holding a cup of coffee and trying to talk to them, and they're doing some sort of pressure move on you or something. Boxers don't do that. They don't throw punches at you when you're talking to them. Jiu-jitsu guys always working an angle on you. Everything is prey to them. Anyway, where were we? Yes, news and sports coming up. But first, my beautiful twins are on the phone. We have Sonny and Natalia. Sonny, Natalia.
Oh, yeah, everything's terrific, Dad. Hey, Mr. Big Shot, literal millionaire, why don't you use some of your celebrity pull to get the city to keep the power from going out?
Oh, yeah.
The other day, the air conditioning went on the fritz, and I was sweating more than Mel Gibson in a synagogue. Yeah, I second that. Hey, Dad, this
Jeff Ross punched
funny
up the script
maybe
this week.
You remember me? I'm the one you put in a girl's bath net the other day.
Oh, yeah.
We thought about placing name tags on our cribs, but what good does that do when your old man's stuck at a first-grade reading level?
Jesus. Well, the old lady about had a heart attack when I threw the boy in the girl's bassinet and the girl in the boy's bassinet. Jesus Christ, I'm not going to check their junk every 5 minutes. The hell do I know which one's which? All right, I'm sorry, kids. How's it going in there? Is everything okay today?
Why don't you stick to the script we have written?
Oh, sorry. Got off on the wrong foot.
Central Show lasted 2 commercial breaks.
All right, sorry. Listen.
Your kids don't like to freestyle.
Yeah. Nature, nurture. You think they'd be good at improv. All right. Look, oh, yeah. I want to talk about auditioning nannies because we are going to bring on a new nanny. We're going to get a little help. I don't know if you've... you met a few of them. Which one do you like the best so far?
The whole process is a waste of time. Why don't you just have Teresa babysit us? Just remember to hide the antidepressants and lock the liquor cabinet. We'll be fine.
Yeah, apparently she's going to have a date on the weekends anyway. It'll be great. The three of us to have a contest to see who can cry the longest.
I'd win.
I do feel bad. I really feel like I need to spend more time with you kids, you know? I mean, you guys have a great sense of humor already.
Well, who are you kidding saying you want to spend more time with us? We get blown off more than Damashek's 9 o'clock sports report.
Yeah, they should call it Dave Damashek's number 2 sports because it always gets crapped on. Get it? Get it?
Thank you, children. Thank you.
That's funny, and it does remind me bad news, Dave. Yeah, it's 9:30. We're 3 breaks behind. All right, all very good points, but I smell trouble this weekend because this is no comedy bit. The old lady is going off to Vegas this weekend and leaving me alone
really?
With the twins.
You say
man going to Vegas, every woman is unfortunate enough to be stuck with the less funny, hairier version of Gilbert Gottfried, she would not be gambling. Yeah, the only jackpot she knows is the one she's forced to clean after Dad's done watching Jurassic Pork 3.
Oh. Since when is Jurassic Pork 2, Jurassic Pork 3? It is the ultimate gamble. Forget about Keno or playing the craps. Leaving these kids with me over the weekend.
Wow.
That is the ultimate one. All right, but listen, I got to say, and I don't want to slow it down, but all joking aside, you two little cherubs have really, really made the last 2 months the don't cry.
They're gassy.
Do your twins already do amyl nitrate? They're doing poppers.
We got this cheap-ass helium tank. Mike August pocketed the rest of it.
Somebody there knows a little bit about the drugs.
Thank you, Natalia. You're right.
You two have made the last 2 months the greatest 2 months of my life.
Speaking of 2 months, who came up with the idea that you should spend 2 months' salary on an engagement ring?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
They should be allowed to choose any job you've previously had when working in the 2 months equation. Dad should be able to pick the 2 months he cleaned carpets at TGI Fridays.
That's right.
Pipe down already, blowhard.
Pipe down yourself, Natalia. I'll get you yet. You can run, but you can't hide.
Well, if I give you a stunt, if you run, why would you be able to hide? The running is the hard part.
Oh, shut it before I stick the attack crows on you.
No, not the attack crows again.
All right, please.
I hear the resemblance.
Yeah.
Jeez, I guess they're really, they really do. They're like little sponges. Daddy's talking on the phone near the cribs.
It's nice to know that they clearly listen to the show, though.
Yeah, they know the show. They're adorable.
It's nice to know someone in the Corolla family listens to the show. All right, T, let's tee up the news.
Well, if you missed The View yesterday, and it's one of these viral internet things, if you missed it, you are going to need to hear what happened yesterday. It was less like The View, more like The Contender.
And Dave has, well, who are we kidding? We don't have time for sports.
Dave Demichel.
What in hell? We'll be back with the news after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
This is Rainn Wilson. I play Dwight Schrute. This is The Office, and you are listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, you are, and we are powering forward. Now, with the news, and Teresa Strasser.
I'm skipping world news and going right to Mel news.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson, that is. He has been charged yesterday with misdemeanor drunk driving, having an elevated blood alcohol level, and having an open container of liquor in his car. If convicted, he could face up to 6 months in jail. Now, earlier we had Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the website that broke the story, and he gave us some exclusive information. One, that Mel Gibson is likely to take a plea because he does not want the audio and video that was taken both at the scene and at the station to be released. He said there are things on there that are very incendiary. Different than what we've already heard.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't tell us what they were.
The mind reels at the possibilities.
Does anyone really care, though? You know what I mean? I mean, the guy's boozing it up. He's driving. I mean, it's all fun. We all get occupied with it. But do you really have feelings? Does anyone really have feelings about anything that has to do with this?
It's just fascinating to see somebody in a blackout. And what happens? I mean, it's just, that's why people watch Cops. And it happens to be Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I know.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road. I got hammered. I'm gay.
That's our interview with Mel Gibson.
Sure.
Now, on The View yesterday, it got very, very ugly. The subject of the morning after pill came up because the FDA is deciding whether or not to make the so-called morning after pill. It's called Plan B. They're deciding whether or not it should be available over the counter. Now, the token conservative on the show, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, got very upset.
There were a number of times where I asked.
Brian. These kinds of issues arouse the strongest emotions.
My heart is like almost out of my chest right now.
Okay.
That's
why?
How strongly. I feel very strongly about this. And I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of people feel this way. I feel as though, and I believe that life begins at the moment of conception and when that egg is fertilized. To me, it's the same thing as birthing a baby and leaving it on the street.
My life began when TiVo entered it. Until then, I was just a shell of a human. Just a clump of cells running into each other.
So you could have been terminated any time before TiVo.
Wouldn't have cared. Take me. Take me, TiVo.
Joy Behar chimed in and, you know, brought up the usual arguments about what if the woman is a victim of a crime, a rape, an incest.
Mm-hmm. Heretic!
And then Hasselbeck got even more upset.
I'm saying this, I wish that it were available. I'm just saying, I don't believe it's the right thing, but this is a slippery slope to just eliminating life. And you know what? For people who want the government to stay out of their business and do what the heck you want with your body and stay,
yes,
keep them out,
like
then
Republicans.
Why are you for universal health care?
Folks, okay? We could go
you
on.
Want that same government.
Elizabeth, calm down, dear.
I can't.
And then, and I'm not.
Hold on.
Yes,
I always love the slippery slope argument,
yes.
Because, well, sure, one minute you're stopping an egg from implanting, and the next minute, jackbooted thugs are showing up at your door with huge stainless steel tongs, and they're going to rip the infant right out of your 9-month pregnant wife.
Yes. Is that what you're
is
asking
Is that what you
for?
Want? Is that
because
what you
clearly
want?
Clearly it is.
That's the kind of world you want to live
that's
in?
That's what you're saying.
Well, then that's okay. Well, no. If you eliminate 20-round banana clip bullets with cop killers in it, yeah, then you have to take away all instruments.
So it's all right for you, so it's all right for people to marry donkeys, is what
that's
saying.
You're saying?
It's a
you're
slippery
saying,
slope.
Yes. Once the gays are allowed to marry, then I think I'll marry this computer screen.
How would you like that?
Is that the world you want to live in?
Enjoy that, Adam.
Enjoy that.
Well, I have to say, Hasselbeck, although I disagree with her point of view, she did stick up for herself, and so you sort of have to give her that. Although, when they came back from commercial, it clearly looked like she'd been crying, and then she kind of begged Barbara's forgiveness and said, I really love my job, as though she thought she could be wished to the cornfield where Star Jones is. Please don't wish me to the... It was very sad, but Barbara forgave. We have a little clip of that.
We have to have a way of discussing this without exploding, because people have to understand each other. We started talking about anti-Semitic remarks and inflammatory, and there has to be a way of discussing this
there
without...
Okay,
can you stop now?
Sure.
We all have passion, but we have to go on, and we have to learn how to discuss these things in some sort of rational way.
Yeah. Well, I got to say this as I think about Barbara and then, Barbara Streisand, Barbara Walters. And to me, Barbara, the number two sort of bitchy old bag name.
Barbara Hershey?
Number one, Judith. Judith, I think, is the number one sight unseen. Like when your mom wants you to meet one of her friends named Judith, you're cool. You don't need to see her, do you?
Go. You didn't know what you're getting.
Yeah, close, glorious, close third, by the way.
All right, I'm Teresa Judith Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
All right, Bruska has given me only 30 seconds, and there's one story I need to make mention of, and that is the huge controversy up Wisconsin way. You know, Milwaukee Brewers have the sausage race around the ballpark?
Yeah.
Last week, they added a chorizo to add some ethnic flair, apparently, some chorizo.
Mm-hmm.
And now Major League Baseball says, hey, you didn't submit the proper paperwork. No chorizo, they say. This is an attack on the Mexicans. I want to get the Mexican Defamation League on the phone, or at the very least Oswaldo,
yes,
to weigh in on this subject. And Brusk is a creep.
Well, this is heating up.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
More on this breaking story tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, we'll be following it closely. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show.
This is C. Thomas Howell, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Wolverines!
Amen.
Put that on a loop and play it behind Charlie Lane, and you got a weekend, Damashek. All right, Greg Fitzsimmons, GregFitzsimmons.com. Republican Richard Martin is going to be at Borders on August 30th. That's 7 p.m. Harvey Levin. Like I need to plug TMZ.com again. Charlie Lane, of course, going to be up at Sturgis. So if you're in one of the Dakotas, go see her. Harlan Williams, Dr. 90210, and Def Rat Guy tomorrow. Loaded for bear.
Ooh,
so, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.